Blog Talk Radio.
Franchise player hitting spots, I mean shots all night.
moderator, a slight adjustment, a tweak when you need it, an increase in the volume while slowing it down, DJ, but never screwing him over, overstanding his work or writing of his worth or writing, cultivating the garden he plants and she moistens. They grow together well beyond a blossom, cause he loves the top and see she don't mind the bottom. Cause she believes in ground level and foundation, as well as art, sex, love, and occupation. She ain't afraid to work. She knows glass ceiling shattered with patience. She speaks his language with her body, open for his interpretation. Like money is the root of all evil, and new money is the root of all grace. Like Alexander's invasion on Egyptian cotton sheets. Never average, maybe borderline savage. Remember, grasp gently, but don't bite the hand that feeds you. So she speaks when he needs that ish. And when a moment of sadness starts to compound, or difficulty in a situation, she speaks, and her words take it all away. And when a moment of I wish this, she poeticizes him, or essays him up, just to make one single statement of, baby, there's no need to wish because you got this. She speaks encouragement and light and motivation and dedication and more than just loyalty. She speaks that Gwen C. poetry type, much love ish and more. Reps is royalty, purple, believing in new pays, new days and new ways. She speaks in ways that helps him to see new vision, helps him to be greater. She speaks because she loves his ambition. She speaks because she loves his ambition.
Let us breathe, let us live.
I don't understand why. I don't need to understand why. You don't need to understand why. Let them breathe. Let them live. Yet so visible, indivisible, nah, we are not. You clearly separate an entire race proven by newly stained pavement, same as the old and taking of another life, placing blame on the victim instead of recognizing the sickness of society and of brutally killing. See, these are crime teams, treat them as such. These are murders.
Not every black man should be feared, unless it is the fear of losing him. We have to live in fear each day of losing another black man, whether it is a stranger, a husband, a groom, a father, a son, a brother, a colleague, a friend, or even a child. A person whose time thus far on earth is short, who is still learning and growing in this great big world, a beautiful spirit, someone who has a future awaiting. Because I don't want to see him laying on pavement, bleeding from a shot that he did not deserve. With no medical attention given, because someone doesn't see the worth of the human he is. Black lives do matter, and the fact that we allow spirits to leave bodies so often, then disrespect them all the way to the coffin. As blood drains and pulses fade of humans who were nonviolent, unarmed, who were merely traveling with their children, who were selling CDs, walking, begging to breathe, or just in black skin. See, I am ready to fight, because they are at the mercy of officers and shots that should have never been fired. That gives me all the reason I need to question your hate. Bang, shots fired. Stop bitching about those who are taking a knee. Open your closed eyes with your so-called integrity. Show love, grow love. Stop the double standard, oppression, and ignorance. If you want this to be the respected, loved, and cherished America, then cherish the lie. American population is comprised. Black people are part of our nation. Treat them like you would want your mother or child to be treated. To sum up this poem with no metaphors, stop killing black people. Let them live. Let them breathe. Let them live to see a day in court if they violated a law. But stop killing black people.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I hope y'all enjoyed that presentation that y'all just received there, because that presentation was done by none other than Gwen C. Oh, Lord, tonight is going to be a beautiful night. The boards are lit, Gwen. They came in for you.
Oh, that's so dope. Thank you all for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, we're going to do something really dope tonight. We're gonna dig in. This is actually an interview. If everybody came for a feature, you might have the wrong spot. This is actually an interview. And we're about to go ahead and kick things off by going ahead and hollering at the host of this show. Gina, how are you? Storm, please report to the microstage area. Gina Storm, please report to the microstage area.
On mute.
Mm-hmm.
I was on mute.
I knew it. We got Jared Matrix Keem and we got Gina Mute Storm. So, hey.
I have not went into the Matrix as of yet, so you're going to have to reserve that for later on. Thank you.
Okay, we'll wait till later on.
Mama Donna, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great today. I'm ready for this interview.
Wasn't it good having Gwen C. coming by the small house and sitting in the den with us and chopping it up about this?
Yes, it was. It was an opportunity to get to know her because I just met Gwen the other day when the last time we did Epiphany. I was in the room and she did a piece. And then coming into the den, it gave me an opportunity, what I could hear of it, because I was in the Matrix that time. And, you know, it was difficult, but what I did catch is illuminating. So I think everybody's going to find out a lot about her tonight.
I think we are as well. Gina, let's go ahead and try to see if Gina's still in the atmosphere. Let me go ahead. Oh, wait a minute. I'm seeing Gina's telephone number on here twice. I don't know what she done did.
Called back. I'm unmuted now, but I was talking. I was unmuted. However, my brother Jay don't care nothing about me, partner, so I couldn't speak if I'm not unmuted by the person.
Oh, I'm so tempted to mute you back.
Mute me back, and let's see how this goes. I came for Gwen C. You came to show up.
I did too.
If that's what you
no,
want to do,
not.
Hey, if that's what you want to do, do that in front of her.
Hey,
you
that's what you
no
want to do.
No fighting, people. We're having an interview. No fighting.
She already found out
no
this
fighting.
Is family. She already found out this is family. She ain't company. She know how we do. He just treated my whole life.
You already know.
Can we get
but
a
I'm
one
here.
Question into her first before we start to do the
infighting? I got to say something. No, for real. I got to say something to Gwen C. because I was hypnotized by those tracks, and I'm going to tell you why. I listened to every single word, and all I can say is this. A lot of times when people are not black, they don't see black. Like, they don't understand I struggle. They feel like that ain't got nothing to do with them. Gwen's not that person. That's not her ministry or her conversation. You heard it in her tracks and her poetry. This is not who she's trying to be. It's who she is. And I love her to infinity for being herself authentically. And a lot of people are wearing a mask. They're in disguise. But they don't want you to see them. And she came here for transparency. And what I love about that is it's that's hard to do when you're not the kind of person who wants or accepts compliments easily, or you want to be in the spotlight. So I appreciate my friend Gwen for being the person that she is and for seeing everybody the same way. Like, I don't look through rose-colored glasses. I know I'm black. I know my struggle. But the fact that you can empathize with that, even though it's not your struggle, means so much to us because you're not just invited to the cookout. We know that you see us important, especially in the times that we live in. And listen to those tracks. Like I said, my heart was beating rapidly, and it's not like I have a heart condition. I'm not going to, you know, need CPR. But the reality is it made me happy in a way that I haven't been in a long time. And I'm so looking forward to this evening because I would like the listeners, the callers, poets, my partner in rhyme, in crime, apparently, the menace that is my brother Jay, and Mama Donna, to be here and make this an enjoyable experience for you as well, because I feel so I'll be blessed to be in your presence. I love you. And to be being with us.
I love you back, Gina. Thank you so much for everything you just said. I really appreciate you. Oh, my God. I appreciate the fact that, you know, you're hearing my words. You're taking them to be genuine. I value that immensely. I'm happy to be here with SJ and Mama Donna as well. I appreciate y'all twisting my arm, Gina. I say you twisted my arm, but, you know.
I promise you, I don't,
you know,
do it often,
strong.
But I had to. You need to be here.
It's funny. But I will say, it's funny because Just Jay started out with the protest version of See the Worst. So if I was going to try to be non-political tonight, then he played the regular version
too
of
late.
It afterwards.
Right.
And I was like, damn, it don't matter
back
what I was going to try to do. That's out the window. Y'all done brought me back to just, okay.
Yeah.
Be Gwency. I'm telling you, that's a good place to be. Just be you.
Thank you.
We're here for you. You're welcome. Mama Donna, what you got to say to our interviewee tonight since we don't have a feature?
All right. What I wanted to say is it was a pleasure meeting you in the den. Like I said before, you know, I like your authenticity, and I like that, you know, you're one of them genuine people that speak up. You know, I was disappointed in a room earlier because I felt everybody was talking around the issue, but you go face the issue. You point it out. You talk about it. Those tracks were fire. You know, you're like, you know, look, we're people too. And I appreciate that you see us. I don't like the colorblindness of some people. I don't see color. There's no way you're not going to see color. If you don't see color, that means you're living in a blind world. And I don't want your colorblindness. I want your reality. If you don't like me for my color, then say you don't like me for my color. But don't get there and say you're colorblind, because that's just a fallacy right there, because you have to see color. Because life is in color. You just have to. So that's what I appreciate about you. And the short time that I've gotten to know you, I can feel the vibes. And I'm usually a vibe person. I can tell if I'm going to like somebody and if I'm not going to like, just by listening to them and conversate. And you got me up there. You're up there high on the scale. So I love you.
No, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah, Gwen, we're going to get off to your activism a little bit. Well, it's going to go back to young Gwen C as well. You know, go ahead and see what road was paved to go ahead and bring this finished product that we have in front of us right now. You know, we've been in anticipation of this. We know that you're a very introverted person, but if you ask something, then you're going to bring the real, you're going to bring the raw, you're going to tell exactly how it is. So with our friends with that type of stuff, we have to make sure that we don't lead our friends out, that they're very open and spoken so that we don't lead them down no blind alleys. But we're going to go ahead and get off into some things. Gwen C., how long has it been your dream to be a slam poet?
Oh, that's funny. I don't dream to be a slam poet, Jess J. So you want the short answer or the long one? Because I can give you both.
I want the medium-sized answer.
Okay. So, you know, like I shared the other day, I'm super transparent. I like to just, when you ask me, I'm going to just tell you the truth, even though it's not always what people want to hear, and that's why I live in this lonely space. But I don't necessarily want to be a slam poet or have that dream. It's just something that evolved out of necessity for me, because when I would do shows and when I used to host my own events, you know, I stayed busy. And I'm talking about here where I live now, which is Louisville, Kentucky. And I would stay busy and kind of host my own events either monthly or quarterly. And I would do the open mics and I would do, you know, do some traveling like to Tennessee, Indiana. I never really got any features here in my own city. It is what it is. I say it's because it's me. It's, you know, that's my opinion. So I started slamming out of necessity, started going to the monthly slam here. And then eventually, you know, started going to larger slams and getting involved in, you know, bigger stages, bigger slams. And then even eventually started doing like Southern Fried and stuff like that. But I really don't consider myself a slam poet per se by definition, because I've seen slam poets and I've seen what they bring. And I want to say, I'm kind of glad you asked this already, because one thing I want to say about slam poetry is the commitment, and I'm not saying that all poets aren't committed to their art and their craft and what they have passion for, but that is another level. Like, I respect it, and respect's not even a valid word. It's beyond respect. I admire it because of the effort and the work and the just year-round people preparing for the next Southern Fried or something like that. So I don't consider myself a slam poet. I do slam. I've won some slams, but, you know, at the end of the day, when I do go to like a large slam festival such as Southern Fried, it's for the experience. It's for me to see other poets. It's for me to live in that space and to grow from that space.
What does it take to be able to do that? A lot of people, if somebody was to say something, anything, a smidget out of the way other than fire flowers, they would be melt. They would melt down right on the spot because, you know, that person didn't feel what they were saying. But when you're pitting yourself against other people, you have to have a certain mind state to go ahead and get into that. I would suspect. I've been involved in a couple of slams, but I've never been involved in anything on the type of level of things that you do. What does it take to have the perseverance to go ahead and finish that out, Gwen C?
For me, it's just wanting to be heard. Like I said, I know I'm going to say this a lot tonight. I live in this very lonely place. Like, I feel like, you know, I have my homegirls from Texas when I grew up. I have family that I don't really talk to here in Kentucky, and I have a lot of poetic acquaintances. That's why I love, like, how y'all are showing me that y'all appreciate me, and that's really important to me, because I feel like in an everyday world, I don't have necessarily this group of friends or these people that are, you know, vouching for me and want to be there for me, but I still have to be heard. What's inside of me has to come out, whether it's my personal struggles, whether it's the political and conscious stuff that I care about, whether it's it could be human trafficking, whatever I'm writing about, I need to get it down. I'm writing about it for a reason. And when it comes to the competition side of it, I'm not looking at, okay, well, I do. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say I don't. Of course I'll look at it and say I'm not as good as these other poets. These are freaking people that have won national slams for years and years. These are teams that have been together for years and years. They are amazing. They are amazing. They are the best art in the world, in my opinion. They are better than movies. They are better than plays and all these things that you can go out and experience. If I get to choose what I'm going to experience, I'm going to experience other poets. So I say all that to say, when I am in a slam, whether it's a large slam or just like a monthly slam here, whatever it is, my goal is to be the best version of me, to try to be the best poet I can be, to be better than I was before. And that's one of the things I probably said in our interview, our pre-interview was, this year at Southern Fried, I was like number 40 or 41. Last year, I was like 30 or 29 or somewhere like that. I'm not saying exact, but I dropped this year. But that's, you know, I'm not holding that grudge. At first, I did, for, you know, a couple of days, but I'm not holding that grudge against myself because we had different teams, different judges. We're in a different place. Everything's different. So I can't expect, even though I want to move. Every time I perform, I want to be better than I was the last time. But I know that, you know,
it's all about just getting the art out there, not stopping, because I do feel like in some instances I've run into people who wish I would stop. They don't want to hear what I say. They don't want to hear me. They tell me I'm trying to tell the story of another race. No, I'm telling the story of who I am because I've been this way for as long as I can remember, even in elementary school. And I'm not going to change just because someone doesn't believe it's who I am. So I'm never going to stop being a poet. I've been a poet since I was 13. That's 33 years, and I'm not going to stop for anybody.
Have you ever got to the point where the outside pressures did make you want to quit?
No. No, I've never wanted to quit poetry. I will say I took an 8-year hiatus. This was before I was ever even in SLAM. I took an 8-year hiatus from 2004 to 2012. I never really wrote like a real poem during that time. I wrote some poems about the Lakers and, you know, I wrote some fun pieces, but not like real pieces, you know, in that time. And most of it was because I was in, you know, getting my degree. I had become a mom. I was doing all those things that you do in life. So poetry wasn't, you know, necessarily the top of the list during that 8 years. Well, then, without going too far down, you know, we had got a neighbor over here who was harassing multiple people in the street. It went on for 8 months. Out of 8 months, you know, we had called the police 10 times, not just my household, but 5 households. This one neighbor would harass us and harass others on the street. She, you know, was racist. She was a drinker, alcoholic, belligerent. She would bring, like, her son's dad over and, you know, try to get him to start stuff. One time she brought her daughter's dad over and tried to get him. So this woman just had some serious issues with a lot of us on the street. Well, this went on for about 8 months. And then in October of 2012, she brought a friend of hers over, a female, who came over here, you know, our house and was throwing stuff at our house at 11 o'clock at night. We're watching the news. It's a work night. It's school night, you know, work night, school night. And my 4-year-old's like, Mom, what's that noise? And so I didn't think anything of it. I thought maybe it was just somebody taking, this is what I thought. I thought somebody was taking their trash can around for Friday morning, so I didn't think anything. She came back a few minutes later, it's like, what's that noise? So this woman, this chick, this girl was outside throwing stuff at our window. So when we went out there, you know, we got her off her property, but she ended up coming back. I'm trying to go through this because it's like an hour and a half long story, and I'm not going to tell y'all because that's not what we're here for. But long story short, this friend that she brought over this time, we ended up getting in a physical fight. And about 10 days later, they put assault charges on me and my husband. My husband just broke us up, but they put the, obviously the police came that night, but then it was turned over to a detective. So, assault one felony was put on us, which is 10 to 20 years. So
wow.
I came out, that ended up being 2 years and 5 months of going back and forth with this before they finally dropped the charges against me and Chris. But long story short, during that time, that happened October 25th, the time it all went down, it was past midnight, so now it's October 26th of 2012. And then I immediately started writing in 2013. Like, that's when I came out of my hiatus, because when I say poetry is ink therapy, I mean that shit, because you have to understand, in 2012, when this started, my children were 3, 4, and 9. I have 3 sons, 3, 4, and 9. And the thought of leaving them for 20 years, I would, or even 10, I would have been coming out with a 13, 14, and 19-year-old who wouldn't even know me. So it was a lot of pressure, and it drug out for 2 years and 5 months to have got it wrong. He saw, you know, blonde hair, blue eyes, and she was injured, and he saw us, and he got it wrong. And no matter how many witnesses we had, all the time, all the call recordings and everything that we pulled from Jefferson County open records to show all the time
right. The
police have been called on that household, it didn't matter. But when I tell you ink therapy, so you ask me if I'm ever going to quit, I will not quit, because I truly, y'all think I'm joking when I say it prevents cases and saves lives. There are some people that I put some people in a poem to protect them. But I also will put myself in a poem. I will do whatever I can to use my, I'm not going to say my gift, because I think that, you know, we all have a tendency to call it that. And I think any of us can write anything if we want to.
It does get abused a little bit.
But I will not give up the thing that I love when I know it has saved me. It has saved my anxiety and my stress and my worry. It's what got me through. And that's why I came out of the hiatus. And I'm never going to give it back up.
All right. I got one last question before I let the ladies go in on you. What is it like to be an alien? To not to belong anywhere fully.
So, I don't know if I'd go that far to say it like that, but, you know, when I know we talked about it previously, I just didn't feel the things that I feel when I grew up in Texas. When I was in Galveston, which is like 50 miles south of Houston, I always called it a small melting pot. It was like the small version of New York. You know, we had every ethnicity. It just was a different place for me. So I didn't face the things that I faced. I've been here a long time. I consider Kentucky home. I am Kentucky born, but I was raised in Texas. But just to come from like the Houston area and come here, at first I didn't notice it because I was still young. You know, we're talking late 90s, early 2000s. I didn't really notice it, but then it started being she's appropriating this, that. And I mean, it got to a point where my family don't understand who I am. So, you know, we really don't talk anyway since my grandmother passed and my father moved away. And so family-wise, they never really got who I was anyways. It was always, you know, I was this outsider. I'm not like them. I'm not ever going to be them. And so my mama loves me. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying my mama don't love me, but I'm talking about, like, my aunts, my cousins. You know, just there's a disconnect there, not just because
that general
I grew up
love.
Away. Yeah, I'm just different. I'm not. It's not because I grew up away from them. It's because I am generally different. So even though I've been here 20 years plus probably, we never were tight like that. And that's just the way that it's always been. And then with people, you know, I never really had like I have friends. Don't get me wrong. There are a few people that I know that would be there for me if I needed them to, you know, one or two. But I just don't have anybody that I hang with. I don't have anybody that's ever been like my homegirls from the 409. And the, you know, it's rough because, you know, when you're adulting and you grow up and you have kids and you start doing, you know, your career, you don't get to go and visit home as much. So my visits started being shorter and shorter. I used to go 3 or 4 times a year, and then all of a sudden it was 5 years. And then the next time was 5 years again in 2010, and then 5 years again in 2015. And in 2015, I was so set on going back for my 20-year reunion. But Sandra Bland happened, and I know it's me being overly cautious or overly worried, or I should, you know, have a mentality of that would never happen, but I wasn't willing to take my sons and my husband back through Texas at that point after that happened, so I didn't go to my reunion, so I didn't go back for 7 years after that happened, and I know, you know, you're supposed to live, we went other places, don't get me wrong, but I didn't go home from 2015 to 2022, and so even though when I'm with my homegirls, they love me. I love them. I think we're always going to be that way. But it's different when you live in a state, you know, 978 miles away from the people that you love, from your best friends. And then you're trying to, you know, you want that sisterhood. You want to know that you've got your tribe. And I don't always feel that way, for sure. I definitely don't.
All right. Hey, Gina, let's go ahead and get these and we're going to get up from you, and we're going to dive into it.
I'm sorry, Jay. I just heard part of what you said. Unfortunately, this is not Clubhouse, but you still went kind of wiggly. The last
All
part
right,
of what you said.
We're going to get you to do the promotions, and then Gwen C. will be doing a poem for us. Also, everybody who's in the queue, we see you, and we're going to get around to you. We're going to get our sisters spiked in properly on this interview, and then we're going to start bringing y'all through here. As y'all see, Gwen C. has her own vibe. Hang out with us for another 20 minutes or so, and we're going to start rotating y'all in here. Appreciate y'all patience with us. Gina, I yield the mic.
Yeah, absolutely. I just simply wanted to say that we're very happy and blessed to be in the presence of Gwen C. this evening. You know, she is very humble and true to herself, and I appreciate her authenticity. Like Mama Donna said, honestly, this is a joy and a privilege and an honor for us that she would even take the time to do so. And I know she thinks that I twisted her arm behind her back, but I really didn't. I just simply encouraged you to share the persons that I know with the people that I love, because I know you love the poet like I do. And you needed a platform, and here we are. So with that being said, there's no reason you should be ordinary when you can be extraordinary. We are here in the Epiphany Universe this Saturday evening promoting the Epiphany Universe that was created by the Larry Malak, who is also the CEO of this network, and he is as well our sponsor for this programming this evening. Why Be Ordinary When You Can Be Raw? Sponsored by Raw Links. And that is his storyline. This is so amazing. We'd like to, if you're online, to please call in to 319-527-6300 so you can get in queue. And then, when you do so, press 1 so you can come on stage and share a course.
What do you say?
And I know that Frequency is online, and he's at 571 and ready to share his poetry with us as well here because we have other poets on the line. But right now, I simply want to give the mic to our interviewee this evening, my sister and my friend, Gwen C., because this is not a feature, it's an interview. That being said, Gwen, the mic is yours.
The piece I'm going to share is called Odyssey. It is from my book, The Revolution Will Not Be Social Mediaized, and I think it's a good piece to share right now just because of some of the things I just talked about. Never tell a poet what they spit ain't their truth. I will never be good enough. Not for my first love, Reuben, the white men at work, the judges of them slams, but I am. God sees the work. Thank God for he, otherwise I wouldn't be. Shit, because folk refuse to accept my truth, call me fake, an appropriator, a whole damn culture taker. It is mentally fucking draining to pretend. My first free song, a sudden strong feeling of excitement or fear, was when I first heard MLK's I Have a Dream. I was 5. Sweater wearing in the summer to hide my hairy arms don't look like going to school on a Harley wasn't enough. My mom insisting the kids think it's cool. Around that time, I was babying my doll. She was beautiful and black. Might be stereotypical, but now it makes sense that I hated my ride. I pretend so well that in first grade, when I told Angie I loved her hair, I was hiding racism. My very first sleepover was with a Mexican. My first real boyfriend was a Blaxican. My first fight was with a girl whose skin matched mine. I guess her non-tolerant mind made her hate the pretender in me. And strong, tatted on my chest, reminds me that my hormones loved a semi-automatic press near my pituitary, so much that back to white men I didn't go. Or maybe it's because one can't return to where they never been. But apparently my white life is full of white lies. People assume I holler good hair when I describe my son. Like my hashtag black boy brilliance is pretending, not parenting. Fraud, copycat, echo, and precious mimic thief. All these terms of endearment penned to me. My youngest calls me Mama Gwen C. Poetry. Feel free to follow his brilliance because I need no more bullies. Since our defense already cost more than $16K, after being victims of hate crimes for 268 days, 12 years we owned, then they rented near us, eventually causing the laws to just see us, because they couldn't just see us. They only saw black and white in her blue eyes. Folk call a long hair don't care. That detective's evidence was long blonde hair don't dare. It didn't matter that she attacked me on my lawn. Yeah, I yawned, because keeping my fake grass so green is exhausting, being an imitator, a culture taker. Like most, I have no free time, but I make time to give to the Human Relations Board unpaid, I might add, because it's part of my pretending to give a damn ass, oh, the facade. And we mustn't speak on my impersonated marriage, the trials, for better or worse, in sickness and in health. Or in sickness, like crack was a fucking epidemic. Cheating is an illness. Habitual lying is homicide. One vomits lies projectile while the other dies till death do us part. 37 years of emulating, lost. People who look like me don't know me. Folk who know me can't see past my complexion. I hope they all question their reflections. They stone me with labels instead of just asking. My homeless soul has no place to be. But at the end of my odyssey, God gon' send Tupac to the gates to let me in. And my oddity means I pray for those who hate based on flesh. But at least they don't pretend. But hate is draining. Maybe when they get to heaven, they can finally rest. At least until my next mic check. In peace, y'all.
Fire.
It's almost thank like you told your story right there in that piece.
I basically clapped my hands. I was like, oh, I can't do it analog. There is no sound effects. I got to unmute myself and clap my hands.
I figured after what Jay just asked me, that would be the right piece to do.
Absolutely.
I heard it. I was like, oh, she roasted me. Help. Somebody help me. She roasted me.
No, hold on. She tapped into my energy. I'm talking about not the D, like frequency, like we're on the same vibe. I'm talking like my energy, my gangster. I felt like she was.
I tried to call
the
police.
Hello, my 187. Right.
So funny.
Mama Donna, what you think of that piece?
I ain't never mad. You did it.
I was trying to say I thought it was awesome. I was just sitting here listening to it, getting all into it. You know, when it was like telling your story from a poetry piece, and all the adversity that you went through, and I like your determination. I like people that are determined. It's a quiet determination. They don't have to shout it from the rooftop, but you know they just keep moving forward no matter what somebody tries to do to them. So that's what I think about that piece.
Thank you.
I don't know
Thank
how quiet
you.
It was, but it was resounding. Gina, what you think of that, lady?
Well, you do understand I'm my mother's only Caucasian child. Even though I have melanin, she believes that I am from the I'm from the rhythmless nation. My musical taste is eclectic. My taste buds are suspect at best. She was like, I wouldn't eat that. I don't even know if white people eat
I'm
that.
I'm with you,
what?
Gina. We're going to trade you for Quincy. We're going to see how that works.
So the black delegation officially trades Gina Storm for Quincy. And look at who.
Thank you for taking that bullet for the
Gina Storm
though.
Here.
For real.
Look, my mama. My mama said, she is white. And it's not I'm not trying to be white. But every time I go out with my sister.
No, sometimes you be bougie with it.
No. Bougie don't mean white. Bougie means you respect yourself and you know your status.
See, that's what I'm talking about right there.
Don't make me put
bougie's extra on a welfare budget.
No. That's Bugetto. That would be my grandmother.
You may have just offended about a million people.
No. It's like half the race.
Gina started on that.
No. I got a tangent. My grandmother sent my father and his siblings to Catholic school
for
the project. Wait a minute. You Bugetto. You bougie and ghetto. You live in housing projects, but your kids go to private school? What's the math on that? Anyway,
that's the math.
I'm a product of my DNA and my environment. But the reality is I aspire to be the sister that Gwen is. And people be thinking, like, you can't call, you know, people who, sisters, black women should not call women who are not black sister. No. Sister ain't got nothing to do with melanin or skin tone or race. Sister means I see you and you see me. I recognize where you are. I appreciate what you're saying. And I want to one day be where you are. And if you feel the same way about me, then a fair exchange and a robbery. And that's why I love Quincy. I'm just happy I was here for it. That's my girl.
Love you back.
I wanted y'all to know, and no, for real, I wanted y'all to know and love her like I do. And I didn't think that she knew how I felt about her, but here we are.
Because she's twisting my arm. She's strong.
Yes.
She ain't got no heart condition. I guess she don't because she's strong as hell.
I am. That part.
Okay, Gina.
I thought I was trading a long time ago, man. I'm sorry. I thought I was going to get Stacey Dash spot a long time ago, but it never happened. So I'll take it.
Mama Donna.
Gina, can I ask you a question?
Yes,
Gina.
Ma'am.
They say you're white because of the food you eat. Am I white because I like sauerkraut with spear ribs?
Oh, yeah. That's
hold on. I like sauerkraut with everything. Look, I lived in Germany for 3.5 years. My stepmother is German. I love kraut, and I always have. It's not just my taste.
My mother made the best sauerkraut with spare ribs and potatoes. I love that stuff.
I love it too. That's for me, that's soul food. But we different. But the reality is, it's not about my taste buds. I can't dance. Fried chicken is not my go-to. I can't jump double dutch.
Sound like my sister.
I don't speak Ebonics. I don't use hot sauce.
I don't think that Lowry seasoned
salt is a necessity. Right. So all I can say is this. I am who I am, but I know that I'm black, and I can't change that. Gwen's not trying to be black. She's just empathetic to our situation, and she loves people, period. That's all that matters. So,
that's
as far as I'm concerned, that's all that matters.
I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Gwen Steen?
Yes, ma'am.
Do your sons, or one or all or both, or I don't know how many it is all together, do they have the writing bug like you do?
So, not really. Kobe, my youngest, he might at some point. I mean, he's 14 now. He might. They did work on a book when they were 8, 9, and my oldest was 14 at the time, so back in 2017. They did a book. Obviously, I encouraged them, and they did like a children's book. But it wasn't poetry or anything like that. It was a children's book that they wrote. They kind of wrote the story. I did the type in, and then it was just fun to do that with them. And I'm hoping that one of them will come back to that. And if anybody does, I feel like it would probably be Kobe, my youngest, because when I was protesting in 2020 a lot, even when my husband and my other sons didn't go, Kobe would still go with me. He would be on the bullhorn. And I feel like because he has that personality, he's more like me when it comes to that. I feel like that could lead him to write someday.
Okay.
And now you have leaked over to the...
Yeah. How can I preach ink therapy, right, and say that I'm trying to inspire other people to, like, save their lives, save cases, you know, prevent cases and save lives through ink therapy and all their struggles, and trying to inspire other people to write and use ink therapy for what it really is. And then when none of my sons do, but I'm certainly hoping that when, if any of them do, it will probably be Kobe.
That's not a mark of you, because sometimes kids or people discover their niche later on in life. I didn't start writing until I was 65, so you understand what I'm saying. He's got time, but the fact that he's still going with you where you go, because he want to be a participant along with you, gives me great hope for him, you know.
Yes.
And I love that about kids, because you want them to develop their own thing. But it's nice for them to have a mother that they can look up to and say, hey, she's willing to go out there and get in the battle lines, protest, do whatever she needs to do to make, because in essence, you're fighting for their lives. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because you got a black husband, you got black kids or biracial kids, and you're fighting for them just as hard as you're fighting for your family as hard as you're fighting for yourself, in essence, you know?
That's right.
Have you gotten in your years of protesting, and I know you had a neighbor issue, but because of your protesting, have you gotten backlash for that?
So I haven't protested a lot. I don't want to, like, mislead y'all or the audience, but I did protest, you know, back in 2018 when we were fencing children from the border. You know, I went and protested at ICE. And then obviously I protested quite a bit back in 2020 after George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, because I live in Louisville, which is where Breonna was killed. So obviously there was a lot of protesting that year. I don't know that I've had backlash as much as just being who I am. I feel like it has somewhat stalled my career. I'm an HR director. I have a master's degree. I'm a senior certified HR professional. And even with all that, I feel like in some cases, and I don't want to say a white man, but in some cases, people in my jobs have held me back just because of who I am. So, you know, I've found in some cases I've said things like, you know, if you don't fit the white man's agenda, it doesn't matter who you are, even me. If you don't fit their agenda, then you're not, you know, they're going to try to hold you back. And I've know that I've posted that, and that's not exactly the verbatim of the quote, but it was pretty much that. And that's just something that I felt that day in the workplace. And I've felt that a few times in the workplace, like,
things always feel like, and this is going back to 1998 when Chris and I got married, but any job, I always feel like the first couple of months when I don't have out any personal items, photos, things like that in my office, it's a different experience. Once I've put the photos out, I think there is a slight bit of a change. Now, maybe that's with me. Maybe it's all in my head, right? Maybe no one's treating me any different. Maybe I just think that. Maybe I don't perform as good after the first 3 months, and then I think it's me. I mean, I think it's the people around me or, you know, one or two folks that are decision makers from the leadership team above me. But I just feel like there's always a slight shift once they learn more about who I am. You know, when I was on the I was a commissioner from 2017 to 2021, and that means I was, you know, volunteering at the Human Relations Board here in Louisville and then person for the Cross-Cultural Committee. We can only do what we can do as a committee for getting out in the community and stuff. But I think even in my workplace, the fact that I was the chairperson for the Cross-Cultural Committee, they looked at me a little bit different. And when I say they, I mean like my CFO, you know, like they didn't understand why I would dedicate my time to that, you know, and why I'm that person. Or at least that's how I take it. Again, maybe it's all in my head. I have no proof. I have no evidence. It's just how I feel. But most of the time, our gut instinct is correct.
Well, I was getting ready to say, because a lot of times if you feel it, then you know, I think in actuality that's what happened, because I think for people of color, melanated people, we walk around with that target on our back in such a way that it makes no difference what we do just because we are melanated. We're only going to advance for so far in a company. We're only going to advance for so far in anything that we're doing. Now, marry that with the fact that you married a black man and you have biracial children. And you know what? Everything was good until you put the pictures out, and all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute. Now they're sitting back and trying to figure out what did all they say wrong in front of you about anybody of color. So you do feel it, and it's palpable. And you shouldn't second-guess yourself on that because it's real. And that's what they're doing. They're second-guess.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because now they can't talk. They can't talk in front of you as comfortably as they thought they could.
Right. Right. That could be the dynamic shift right there. Is now they're uncomfortable around me. So maybe it's that dynamic right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, your poem basically spoke to those different things too. It also spoke to how people would be having these thought processes. Throwing you in a box, you know, without even fully knowing the whole situation. And you did have some distinct contradictions here. Listen to MLK at 5, going to school on a Harley, black baby doll. You know, I'm looking at all these things. I'm kind of like seeing you in a little leather jacket. And some dreads.
That's so funny. Oh, I love that.
Let me go through this poem right quick with you. You said, never tell the poor what they should spit. I mean, what they spit is not their truth. Folks refuse to accept your truth. You talked about the MLK speech at 5, going to school on a Harley. Baby doll, black. My first boyfriend, Blaxican, and never went back.
Ooh, yes, sorry.
Kind of have you know
fun.
What?
Rest in peace, Josh. Let's say rest in peace, Josh Garcia.
Got you. How frustrating can it be when people are actually trying to be aligned with you or trying to feel your vibe, still saying things that are terrible?
I don't feel like people that truly try to fill my vibe have ever made me feel uncomfortable or said things that are, you know, whack. But, I don't really feel like I've had that experience. I feel like it's just the folks ain't trying to vibe from any side, any direction. It's like there's all these assumptions around me, you know, it's the disconnect with my family. I get it. It is what it is. But then, you know, coming to Kentucky and things being so different, I have a poem that says, you know, it's about all these things that happened in my life, not the one I just did, but one of the lines is, Kentucky, 50% of you accuse me of cultural appropriation and the other 50% just something else, right? It's like there was never a place for me here. And so I don't know that the people that truly are trying to fill the vibe, like Just Jay, Mama Donna, Gina, anybody that's really trying to, you know, vibe with or get to know somebody, I don't feel like I've had that issue come up with those people that are genuine. There's been a couple of people that maybe I thought they were going to vibe. I met this one chick one time. She was a Libra like me. I loved her off the top. I knew I was going to love her before I even went to meet her. When I walked in the door, she staged me, and I was going to meet her because we were going to do a show at her venue, and we'll just say that. I ain't going to say no names. Like, I ain't going to say no places, no cities, but we were going to do a show, and then, you know, I loved her. She was a Libra. She staged me when I walked in. Nobody had ever done that before. She loved me back. You know, we had a mutual connection that introduced us. We were going to do a show. This was, like, a couple of months before the pandemic hit. The show was actually going to be in March of 2020, and then we ended up postponing it, but she had posted something on there when all the stuff went down after George Floyd, rightfully so. And I was laughing as in I agreed with her. She had posted basically the comment about what I had previously said. I'm sure a lot of people have said, if you're white and you can sleep with black men, then you need to be willing to be down and protest and stand up to your family, stand up to people who do say those things like you just said, who say things that are wrong. Do the right thing, right? You can't be down 25% of the time. That's not acceptable. And for someone like me, I'm going to tell you that. Well, when she posted something along those lines, I laughed because I was agreeing with her, laughing at the people who are that way, because we're in Kentucky and it's a lot of people that way. So people are going to hate me after this call. Oh, my God. But there's a lot of people that will, you know, be with a black man on the down low or, you know, hide it. I know someone who I worked with for many years who was in love with a black man, but she would never, ever stand up to her family. And she could have. They weren't going to abuse her or anything. She was grown. She just chose not to because, you know, she wanted to keep that relationship. And I'm not like that. I'm going to be like, whatever, the relationship, you got to do what's right. So I was agreeing with her, and I think she got upset with me. She thought I was laughing at her post, laughing at her comment. And I wasn't. I was laughing at the people who do exactly what she was describing. So I don't know that there's any like genuine people who really want to vibe with you. If they're really like, that's what they really want to do, then I think their behavior will be aligned to that, not the other direction.
Yeah. We have some, people in the small house of poetry, and they're from different, countries. And I have to go ahead and, you know, every now and then I go ahead and ask, like, you know, everything cool. And, because I know sometimes things can skirt right up to the edge, even among friends, and they chit-chatting and talking, and sometimes you may not know, and you could go over the line. So I was basically speaking
that's,
to that thing right
there. I think
that's
a little different. Yeah, I agree with you there. I think it's a little different because a lot of times I was watching a video the other day, or was it today? It was just, I don't know, my days run together. But I was watching a video where a girl from in China was, like, touching somebody's hair, and she was just amazed of this girl's hair. And I just watched this video. I just seen it on Facebook. I don't know who shared it. It was just today or yesterday. And I know what you're saying, though, but I think that when someone's from a different country, we got to give them a little bit of slack, for lack of a better word, because they may not experience. But if you're in this country, you know what the hell is right and wrong because you hear and you know what's going on. You can't play that dumb, or I didn't know because I don't live in your society. But when you live outside of this society, I think it is a little different. You do want to give people some slack and maybe help them learn and teach them and educate them on right and wrong rather than just put them in a poem, because that's what I would do, put them in a poem.
Wait. Right. Hey, I'm about to make you famous. Jesse James. But
But you got to teach people. If outside the country, I feel like that's a valid excuse to a certain extent.
Oh, so you're willing to give somebody else out on the outside of the country. But, you know, people outside of the country can be just as flagrant as the people on the inside. And sometimes
there is a
thing that people don't know about certain biases that they have. They're like, well, it's just like that. No, it's not like that.
Yeah, I'm not talking about flagrant now. Yeah, if it's flagrant and it's outright, they know. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about maybe not understanding. Like, the girl was so amazed by this girl's hair, and she just, I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, you
I
already
how to
know that
video.
Right here. Yeah, that don't fly. You already know how that goes.
But she was like, we don't have that in my country. And I was like, what? I didn't know how to take it. Like, I was confused. But in America,
right.
That's obvious.
We are at the top of the hour now. Everybody who's online and you're listening in, if you want to go ahead and call in, we're about to go ahead and start the portion of this where we start bringing in the callers. We appreciate y'all for being patient. I don't know how this has been looking from the outside, but from the inside, this has been pure fire. We're going to have Gina go ahead and do the promos, and then we'll have Mama Donna go ahead and set you up with the mic. You go into your next piece. We'll chop it up, and then the people start flooding in. Gina, Babina, Fofina.
Do not do the Bobina song on me. Mama all day does that on a regular basis. But the reality is, I was on mute talking, and y'all didn't just meet me. This is what I do. The reality is, we are so happy to be here on Epiphany, in the Epiphany universe, and it would not be a show this evening with just Jay and Gina to have this interviewee who is Gwen C. and our partner in rhyme and crime, our Mama Donna from the Small House of Poetry, riding shotgun with me. People say that we twist our arms behind their backs, but that's not true. The reality is, there's no reason that you should be ordinary when you can be extraordinary. And we're sponsored by Raw Links. So we're here on Epiphany on this Saturday, as we are every other Saturday evening from 8 o'clock Central Standard Time till whenever, and 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time until the blog title lady says we're done. But we're going to be here with Gwen C. This isn't a feature. It's an interview. Mama Donna, the mic is yours.
All right. Thank you. It comes to that time where we're going to hear the dulcet tones of Gwen C. giving us another piece. She's been hitting us hard, and I can't wait. I'm in anticipation. What are you going to give us now? Gwen C., the mic is yours.
Thank you. Let's see. I think I'm going to let you guys pick the next piece. Now, you know what? I'm going to do something that's kind of abstract, actually. This is from my new book that just came out. It's my Galveston book. I just released it during National Poetry Month in Texas, which was dope, dope, dope. Like, I can't say how dope it was because it was beyond all things. It's an abstract piece, and it's called Adam and Ink. And the reason I'm sharing this piece is because I was talking about the commitment that all poets have to have earlier, and the slam poets, but just all poets and just artists in general to their craft. And so this piece is kind of abstract about bow down to a motherfucking poet if you know one. Let me get this piece for you guys. It's called Adam and Ink. And I am going to read it because it's not memorized. Romans 13 tells us God perfected poet to write, write, to be the holder of line and space, ruler, determine damnation, drama wrongs into rights, poet be punisher and praise maker, sky opener, line scraper, stroke a crooked straight, deliverer on judgment day, poet be peacemaker. God say, obey poet. Drink ink, any flavor. Rough ride, dead poets escape. Open up shop for poet drop draws. Sketch Little Kim and Marvin Gaye. Honor poet rose of magic and strange ones with no melanin. No limit rhymes of greats. Let's get it on. God said, submit to poet. Honor craft and instruction. Touch blood red lips, green leaf fingertips. Love Slim Shady, don't be. Make limbs turn, weather storm, hurricane squeeze, tornado twist, juice the poet back. Applaud ruler of penmanship, its intellect not appearance. Pay for stanzas, like Will's marriage pays for love of pox. Submit to poet, like white girl supposed to sit that one out. Give last dollar for fix, like this mouth. Middle-aged white female poet would adhere to God's instruction written here if it meant the return of the greatest flannel shirt mic stand, clutch rod, full length, don't short skirt poem's journey, kiss panty, give breath to poet. Let poet own castle and the hill and the corner and the block. Oh, dog for poet and Sharif for poet too. Make sure poet projects, balls, points, and ballpoints, click, click, see the worth, clickety-click add text. Be unsure whether you care if you live or die. Taste poet's words like Cain's blood coat's throat with I don't know, Grandpa. Die, if it means poet's last works live, sacrifice self so poet can eulogy all mankind. Between poet's lines is where your ends meet. Give your two shorts to poets. Make young millionaires with no high school diplomas. Flip ghettos into fortune. Like a prayer, recite poet's poem for healing. Kiss poet's toes, Madonna their freedom, poetic justice. See the poet, tell me something good. Affirm the poet, adorn with gold the poetic prince. Cocoa butter the princess poet. Adam and ink, purple rain forever. Cause God say everybody needs a poet. That's a piece, y'all. Obey a poet, love a poet.
Hey, I love this piece right here. Now, why would somebody write this piece right here, Gwen C?
I don't even know. I'm sorry. I don't know how I got to this piece. It was just something I wrote. I think I wrote it during National Poetry Month. I would have to go back and check to make sure. But once I started writing it, it was just like, wait a minute. Like I said, it's ink therapy, and I put everything in poems. And so this piece was just like, we are just everything. I mean, and I know it's a sarcasm, right? It's a poem of sarcasm because God's not telling anybody to obey poets and to praise us and do what we say and let us be, you know, out here, making eulogies and stuff. Don't sacrifice yourself for the poet. But that's basically what this poet is saying, because we fucking matter. We matter. Poetry matters. Poets matter. What we do matters. We are the shit. That's all I got.
Well, tell us how you really feel about poets. Okay?
I know. Man, I love poetry.
Don't be so enthusiastic. Dim it down. Dim it down some, okay?
I love it.
Yeah,
I'm the poet.
I appreciate that. That was good.
If I'm quiet, then you actually did the damn thing. I have nothing to say.
It's a weird piece. I get it. It's abstract as hell.
It's nothing weird, and just because it's abstract does not make it weird.
I'm that poet.
Because you know what? As poets and poets that I've seen and some of the beefs that I've seen people get in based on their how they think people are supposed to react to their poetry, a lot of what you said is in there is very true. We tend to think a lot of ourselves and our opinions and stuff like that. And that's A-okay, because our experiences can be very important and can shape other people's lives if they're willing to hear, if they have the ear to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So we do,
right.
As poets, you have at some point, even if you touch one person, that's one person that probably was getting ready to make a life-altering decision that changed because they heard your piece.
Mm.
So, you know, it's a little facetious.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you know, God is not telling you to go do these things, but the bottom line is this here. What we do is important if
mm-hmm.
it hits the right ear.
That's right.
And the way you said it was the way that we all think it. You just said it out loud.
Oh, Lord, thank you.
I thought like those were my words. I was like, I know it's not plagiarism, but I promise you, Gwen, that's how I feel about myself and poets. So let's go.
All right, Mr. Jared, are you there or are you on mute?
All right. So apparently Jared is pulling the Gina and he's mutating. During the intro, mm-hmm. I had to say this. There was a line that spoke to me as an individual, not just a poet, but as a person. I didn't think too highly of myself, and then I started poeting, and I put myself on the top shelf. I don't know exactly what you said, but that was my takeaway. There's a line similar mm-hmm. to that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Not right off, just because
okay,
I feel like I'm saying that over and over.
No, but right in your piece, you had said something like, valuing yourself. And then it's because, you know, you're a poet. And mm-hmm. if we don't think that we're the shit, who will? I saw a video a couple of days ago, and a lot of times people are always dogging Jared because Jay is like a whole vibe, and it's not always well received, but he's my best friend. As far as brothers go, he's my favorite one. And I try not to pick favorites, but I had to because he makes me a better me. And I feel like you make me a better me. So a little of what I'm saying. So, man, I don't want you to be upset by this. I want you just to receive it because it's hard for me to accept compliments. So let me give it to you because you deserve it. I don't know what the line, like I said, I don't know what the line is, but it was similar to what I said.
Might have been to see the word.
If you could just pick out a line that makes you feel like you are worthy and that poets should feel the way that they do and run it back for us, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think I'll go with the see the word line because I feel like that's probably the one you were thinking of. I could be wrong, but it
no,
is.
No, you're probably right. Trust me. Go ahead. The mic is yours.
Sure. Thank you. It is let poet own castle and the hill and the corner and the block. Oh, dog for poet and Sharif for poet too. Make sure poet projects, balls, point and ballpoint. Click, click, see the worth. Clickety, click, add tax.
Girl, okay, so this is the thing about me. Mama Donna says she operates our vibe. Sometimes vibes lie. Like, I've had people where the vibe was right. Everything lined up, and then it was still trash. So I couldn't trust myself or my perception of what good vibes are. But when it comes to you, I know that you get it because you picked out the exact part of that piece that I was referring to, and I didn't even know what was it until you said so. So, yay. Thank you.
Thank y'all you, have a girlfriend moment. That's what I'm talking
no,
about.
No, that's my girl. No, for real, that's my girl.
Oh, Lord.
Y'all
like,
have to wait to next day.
Stop it, Jared. What Jared has to understand, and y'all know this, I have a boatload of brothers, but no sisters. So every time I run into a woman that I feel like I can call sis and mean it, it means the world to me. And one of the sisters that I got from another mother and mister is Quincy. I'm so happy that
all
you're
right.
here. Because I love you.
Let's go ahead.
Go ahead, Jack.
Let's go ahead and get some of these poets up in here, y'all.
Absolutely.
We're going to start with this rather peculiar looking number right here. Caller, how you doing today?
Hey, 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 what it do, what it do?
Oh, my goodness, I know that voice.
It's Mr.
himself. Hey, how's everybody doing?
What's going on, Clark Kent?
Doing great, how are you?
Happy Saturday and July.
First of all, how you doing, Wenzy? Excuse me.
Hey, my arm is still sore. You got people out here twisting arms. Why you let them do that?
I wish you would stop telling
you know,
that fallacy, Ms. Quinn.
We haven't forced
that
this.
That is a fallacy.
We haven't forced this.
I know. I'm a quick saying that. She didn't take my arm. She threatened to take away my ink and paper.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, they kind of rough. They got me the same way. They did me the same way.
Yeah,
the same
equal
way, so don't feel bad about
us.
I mean,
are
don't
you
discriminate.
For real, Peanut?
Oh, we beat him down.
What's that, Mama?
I said, for real? Are you for real? Mm-mm.
All day long.
There was no poet harmed in these interviews.
No.
They talk about before the interview and the asking for the interview and the requesting of the interview.
It was a great
They were they were secretly flattered and they got to give out this act that they were twisting arms. We barely touched y'all and y'all was ready to jump on it and do it.
Oh no! Jared was
you
calling
know,
me every night. He was calling me every night.
And hanging up.
It was a great experience, though. It got emotional and everything, Gwen C. You know, they did me just like that, too. They poured a whole lot of love on me. You know how they do. You know how they do.
Show love from love, yes.
Yeah, shame on us.
They poured a lot of love on me. I wasn't ready for it. You know. But it's a great experience being featured and hearing more about you.
How do you know Gwen C, man?
How do I know Gwen C? I know Gwen C because, no, let me not start from that area. No, I know Gwen C from coming to shows for me for years now, you know. I met her through another host of Epiphany. She has done some shows on Epiphany as well. So, you know, if you know Gwen C, I had to, you know, try to snatch her up as well. You know, so she's been
right.
a part of the family for quite some time, you know. We go way black.
Yeah,
he has my son's book.
One of those people that.
Yes.
That's right. That's right. And I have her son's book. I have two of them, too. I ordered, you ain't know that. I ordered, you know, I got one signed and everything, and I had to get one off the line,
mm-hmm.
you know, paper trail. Yeah, and it's great. It's a great book, and I'm honored to have it. It signed it and everything.
Sweet.
And they were so happy,
yeah, so
and I showed them.
I
said, it's going to this guy. Let me show you the picture. They love that.
Yeah, yeah. That's the honor to have their book, and I'm proud of those kids.
Thank
you. Yeah, but once again, congratulations. It's well-deserved because, girl, you are fire. You are dope. You inspire people. I know you inspire me because if you get on the mic before me and then I got to go next, it's like, oh, man, I got to bring some crazy shit. You
That's
know,
so funny.
Just can't come on, you know, just can't come on, you know, any other kind of
so
way.
Funny.
She told me the same thing in my inbox. We like saying that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Trying to go up.
Yeah. Yeah, so Gwen got the keys to Epiphany, you know. She out there. I'm just waiting for it, but she's so busy. She stays so busy, and I understand, you know, and that's the way we like her for her to be, you know. Spread that talent around, you know, showcase that voice, you know, that you want to be heard.
Right.
You know, we want to hear it. I love it. It gets my nerves real bad. You know what I'm saying?
I love it.
People that know me know what that means. You know, it gets my nerves real bad. You know?
You have any questions for Gwen C?
Not a damn one, bro. You know, I know so much about Gwen. What can you ask?
Black.
What the hell could you ask? I mean, what the hell?
I know she like open
Gwen,
box.
What you want me to
ask? This is why I love
Gwen,
him.
I'm just saying, Gwen, what you want me to ask you, baby?
Oh,
tell
Lord,
me what
I don't
you
know.
Want me to ask you. You know what I'm saying?
I have
when
no
is
idea.
You gonna, I'll tell you, I got a question.
Wait, this,
it would be
is,
when,
is this reverse psychology?
What day you going to do your show on is what I want to know.
That
what day?
Is funny. Look, it's looking like I might be a helper, okay? I'm leaning into it this time a little bit. I'm just going to say, I am leaning into it with King. But it is not official.
Okay.
I
Ooh,
am leaning into it.
You messed up now. Once you let me know it's a little bit jumping off, you can ask Kimbrella about that, you know, how real they're in here. Okay. We'll talk about it, baby love.
That's funny. Yes.
See what
yeah.
comes out over here at the Just Jay and Gina show? They provoke it out of you. Got me dragging you by the arm.
That's funny.
I'm just
yeah.
saying. It's a vibe.
Yeah, we like special ops. We train people in the proper arm of,
yeah.
you know.
Of
y'all
arm dragons,
Fortnite.
Yeah.
Hand-to-hand.
Hand-to-hand arm
no
dragon.
No weapon necessary. Let's go.
Yeah.
Look at my arm.
No,
you know how
I'm,
to do it.
I'm telling you, though, I really don't have no question for this young lady. I'm just, I love being in her presence. I even like when I know she's in a room, right?
I like that,
if
too.
If I see Gwen C down there, I know I got to raise, you know, my energy. You know, certain people just recharge your batteries. You know,
yeah.
she's a dope
ass
poet.
Gwen C ain't going to come off the bat until she hears something that's so inspiring that she's like, oh, I got to spit now.
Yeah, she got to put her. She likes to put her hand at the end of the show.
Bring
she likes to
bed.
Put her hand up at the end, but unless
oh,
you
man.
Get her hype. But yeah, that's the truth of the matter. You know, she's a dope ass female. You know, lady, whatever the color, I don't give a damn fuck. It's her energy, the energy that she walks with, you know, I'm attracted to it, and I love it being part of being in the same space that, you know, we as poets, you know, take up. Dope. It's Gwen
Thank
C,
you,
y'all. What the hell you talk? What the hell you talking about?
You know? I love it. I love it. I know you didn't just come here to have conversation and to praise Gwen C, who doesn't take it easily. But the reality is, trying to get some poetry.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I bought this piece based on Jesus. Okay, I just came from Bible studies on Monday.
Do what you do.
I just made
praise
that up.
On.
Don't believe it.
As long as you.
I just made that up, Gina.
Okay.
I just made that up.
I cannot
All
with
right.
you.
Now, I got some peace right now. Listen, you know, I can be, I might have to cut this off somewhere in the middle of it or somewhere like that because I didn't get the chance to look at this piece. It's like 4 hours long. You know, I normally do a 2 hour piece on this show, but this piece is like 4 hours long. So I might cut it off after I can't breathe at some area in there. So I just want to throw that disclaimer out there, Gwen.
Okay.
But,
we got you. We don't want you to die today. Nah.
Yeah.
We need them tomorrow.
The title of this piece, Gina Smith, what's your last name again? I'm a little lit too, y'all, by the way. I'm a little lit, so if I messed
Storm
up, you know, blame it on the Henny.
Storm is you nasty. I'm just Gina on this show with Just Jay.
Just Gina. Just Gina. Okay, I get it now.
I'm
All right, so
Gina.
Listen, Just Gina, the name of this piece, Mama, Just Mama, D, is I Spit That Shit.
The mic is yours.
All right, now.
Thank you. Thank you. In America, it's like every day it takes all of me to move forward in America. Black and strong, gotta be strong and black in order to keep moving forward. It's like that in America. Like if I didn't believe in God, this whole thing would be over for me in America. Move after move, back and forth like a pawn across this chessboard of life. Constantly denied my rights. Placed in a place left vulnerable without any escape. Struggling just to breathe while you write these scripts to take the breath right up out of me and my child. So how can we as a people keep our children alive? While evading the rook in the night, captured by the bishop wielding a butcher's knife in America. What a life. Everyday wars waged in America. Games played in America like pieces on a chessboard, always ending with checkmate. Yet at the end of the day, in America, we're tired of playing these games. My nigga, this is my life. World run by dummies pretending to be wise, making moves, moves being made, none for the people's benefit. We live in poverty while the rich continue to get paid in America. They said, come on, be a nice nigga for real. No, I'm going to keep it real. See, the axe forgets, but the tree remembers. Over 400 years of a bloody past, yo. I'm invited to look back at the aftermath. I take a pass, though. Grab my pistol, slap my orange motherfucker with my bicho. Use lowercase digits to make small the races that sat at the Capitol. Make clay bricks out of horse shit and build a wall around it. From that White House to that outhouse with politics, I'll wipe my ass with it. Turds in pointed white robes running it. 400 years of slavery, yet they ain't finished. Now it's women they want to pay back. They want paybacks from that Me Too movement and shit. Don't you get it? Your body's dee. Just like that slave that they once owned. They want to own it, control it, tell you what you can and cannot do with it. Fuck that shit, yo. Did these motherfuckers forget that they work for the people? Me and you, yo? Politics? See, these assholes don't know who they fucking with. These motherfuckers be like two-ply, so I wipe my ass with it. Like diarrhea running down the legs of a constipated government full of shit. With grand plans of making this country great for all of them once again, for only one of them, for only them once again, to enslave all the Nubians, to wipe out all the melanin from
sea to shining sea, sea. Roe versus Wade, huh? Now it's the body of women you want to enslave. Huh? America, huh? America, huh? God's played a prank on thee, devoid of good or brotherhood. I speak on all the bullshit that I've seen. America, America done took a shit on me. So, I figure, bitches, that the sum of niggas multiplied by the number of niggas lost on slave ships that didn't make it, subtract that number, round off that figure to the nearest sum, equate that square root to each and every cotton picker, every nigger, every chicken George, and every fiddler, every kizzy, equal all of all that digging up, equal all that up and start digging ditches, call them graves in honor of Kunta Kinte, and one by one start putting y'all asses in them. America, my nigga, what the fuck, nigga, that sickness brought out the sickness of sick shit when you spit that shit. They said, go ahead for real. They said, spit that shit. Spare that shit, don't spare that shit. See, my pen won't sit back, society, it gets with it. So you need to get back and watch these African drummers get wicked. Ancestral spirits rewoken. Can't you hear it? I can. They say, go on for real. Spit it. Spit that shit. David Mount wrote that shit. I just borrowed it. My nigga. They brought us here over waters that were deeper. On a good ship, Jesus, they seized us from overseas. They see us. Not as human beings, but as King Kong and Mighty Joe Young. That's bananas, see? But that's how they see us through this sea from shining sea. That dude that is unseen by us in a land where justice is unjustly kept. From just us, will we ever overcome? When will we see right here where we be this? Sea from shining sea, this freedom, this emancipation proclamation. Oh, say, can we see, Lord? Oh, say, can we see, Lord? Oh, say, can we see? Lord. Shut the fuck up. There are still places in America we can't travel at night or would want to be. Celebrities buying foreign Negro babies like they puppies while thousands of black babies in America go starving. And y'all starting shit overseas got us in y'all army dying or returning home and being reminded that here, nigga, you don't belong. You're just a darky, a monkey, but they can't see that all we ever wanted was peace and to be released from this modern-day slavery. You pissed all over my ancestry, and like cattle, you took hot metal and branded me. You took all my people from Africa and scattered us, and like Tarzan, you create this man, your image, and gave us your religion, and you want us to believe? Nigga, please. On TV, they show African children with big bellies. They show our ghettos, but we know Zimbabwe, Kenya, and Soweto. You brought us to a place where we have no choice to be. Raped and robbed us from our heritage and our ancestry. And from the cradle right out of the crib, you stole and sold our kids. Now today, here we go again. No more rope. But they still lynching my people, though. See, you found a new way. So behind gates, you enslaved by making our men as felons, marking our men as felons, choked by the system's right to vote, revoked and shit. Anything with melanin is condemned and shit, while the government gives out kickbacks to these private-owned prisons if they don't fill them in shit. No more rope, but they still lynching us, though. Yet so many of us are hung, but still so many of us are straightening our hair and bleaching our skin and tuning buffoon acts to be like one of them. And at some point in time when their melanin can no longer hide them, they always come back and they fade right back to black. But God has a hand clap that'll slap you with your tender at sea. I'm at my apex. This is where I go ape at. Some people are comfortable within their reality, but the reality is that it's not their fucking reality. Excuse me for being judgmental, but there is some mental dysfunction in the mental capacity to make a motherfucker believe in the bullshit that they see on TV. Figure it out, nigga. It's make-believe. It's what today in society, what you want to see, what they want you to see. When you no longer dream, they write this sheen just for you, tailor-made just for you on a TV screen, just for you. And another one of us are dead by the hands of the red, white, and blue. And that the reality is we're becoming desensitized by all this shit that we're seeing on TV. We are digressing. While there is a purge and they're going from door to door while we like chimpanzees in the front of the TV on all fours screaming out, evolution, evolution, when we should be screaming out revolution. Ain't that some shit, my nigga? Evolution is a change in heritable traits in biological populations over successive generations, and their religion is the bullshit that will take you further away from heaven. So they're saying that soon every ape in all the zoos will snatch them keys and be free to move in at a tree near you in America. I smell their fear in America. Black enough to smell the illness. Black enough in America. But when will I be black enough for justice in America? And my people said, go on and spit that shit, my nigga. My nigga. What the fuck, nigga? That sickness brought off the sickness of sick shit when you spit that shit. So go ahead, for real, they said. Spit that shit. So I grabbed the mic and kicked the stand and I spit that shit. For real.
All right. Mr. For Real. I didn't know that you had stopped. Jared, we can't hear you if you're talking.
I'm right here.
I know. I was like, you know what? I love that piece. That was like, all we got a chat set up, and I'm just saying, spit that shit. Just spit that shit. Just spit it. That's right. Just spit that shit. I like the title of it. I like what you were spitting. It was awesome. It was a lot of thought. It was thought-provoking, but it's a lot of thoughts that I've had sometimes, you know, how we're treated here in America, the greatest country in the world. For I don't know who, but not for black people. But we'll talk about that another day.
Hey, but thank you, though, mama. Thank you.
Can you hear me now for real?
I hear you, but you
no,
sound
your
like
mic
you're
is still
in a tuna
low.
Can. Yeah, you're in a tuna can, bro.
Can you hear me now, brother?
Yeah. Loud and clear.
Hey, man, I started taking notes with this piece when you first started doing it. This right here was a piece that you had to basically, you had to feel the struggle, the travel of the struggle. This piece was really dope, man. We were having some interesting little thoughts as you were doing this piece in the chat, man. This is nice, brother.
Hey, thanks, little bro. Appreciate it, man.
Gwen C, what do you think about this?
I love this piece. I'm pretty sure I've heard this piece, and it. Like hearing it all over for the first time, it is just everything. The delivery, what you're saying, it's just the piece. It's just so, it seems so raw to me and so authentic and just like real shit.
Hey, thank you, Gwen. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate that, y'all.
Tell people all the time that I can't be blackity black. I can just be my black.
But the wonderful thing about Pharrell the Poet and other poets who are likely black is they can be any black that needs to be. So I'm appreciative and thank you.
Thank you, baby. Thank you. Hey, well, look, y'all, one love, one mic, man. It was
one
an honor
love,
to be
mic.
Here. Once again, congratulations, Gwen. You know we love you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Love you back.
Mm-hmm. One love, one mic, y'all.
One love, one mic.
Take care, bro. Take care for coming in, too.
Baby, baby.
Take your socks off. We're not trying to be ordinary because we're raw. Get your raw links, everybody.
All right. Let's go ahead and move to the next caller. Oh, 210. Who do we have on the line?
Hey, good evening. This is Kimbrella Renee. How are y'all doing?
Would that be the hurricane?
Hey. Hey, how are you?
Hello, Kimbrella. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Good evening, everybody. Good evening. Congrats to Gwen C. This is someone who I'm still learning, you know, still learning, but I do remember a couple of the first times that I've heard her. Just a powerhouse. I respect her pen. You know, I watch her oftentimes. She posts a video on Southern Fried and different, you know, open mics that she does, and I just so respect that she respects the craft first and foremost, that she respects the cause behind her craft secondly, and that she's just somebody that helps push all of this forward. So for that, you know, I have nothing but respect for you. I love seeing you do what you do. I love hearing you. You're just a profound person and then an artist to follow.
Thank you,
what have you been thinking about
her?
I'm sorry about that. Go ahead, Gwen.
I was just going to say I appreciate you. That means a lot. I really do. Because think you're a freaking powerhouse. I love you, so I really appreciate that.
Yeah, you said some things. You said some things as they were interviewing you, and I feel like we are like one and the same. I swear, like there's a lot of things about you that you don't even know that are very, very similar to who I am. In terms of, you know, just not, I have obviously my epiphany core people, but outside of that, you know, being from home, not many people that I gravitate to back home, a lot of things that you hit on, and I definitely understand. Just hearing your backstory about some of the things that you and your family had to go through, man, I do have a question for you. I want to say this. When you wrap all of that up, and the moment you started to write, when did you notice it went from writing to, oh, okay, I have something to say and people are really listening to what I say? When did you understand that?
That would be after I caught that case. You know, I know that sounds really bad. I'm not a criminal, y'all, I promise. But that was after that, because when I came back from the hiatus and I started writing, I started performing in 2013, and the performance wasn't because I felt like, oh, I need to be heard and what I'm saying matters. It was because I was writing about, you know, love poems, lust, just, you know, that kind of stuff. I wasn't really doing any political. I mean, I did a few little conscious pieces, but not like I am today. But I say all that to say the answer to your question is I was going and doing open mics and trying to get out there because I was going crazy because we were facing what we were facing and I didn't know how it was going to end. And I had all this anxiety, and I've always had anxiety, but it was another level thinking that I might actually leave my kids. And so I started going out to open mics because of that. That's the reason I started going out in February of 2013. And I didn't go back until July of 2013. And after that, it was just like somewhere in that time frame between 2013 and say middle of 2014 is when I realized, wait a minute, this is helping people. Like, even though I was doing a lot of relationship pieces and had barely started dabbling on political and stuff, it was like people were receiving it and giving feedback and being inspired. And then I released my CD, and then it was like, it was a good feeling. And that's when I knew, like, okay. And then, not to go too far down the rabbit hole, y'all, but then it switched to,
you know, 2015, I wrote what I consider to be my first real political piece. And then by 2016 is when I wrote See the Worth. And just after that, it was just nonstop go on the pedal. And it was like protest piece, you know, all the things. So it just never stopped.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that's the part I understand when you – that was one of the things that you said when you started talking about the fact that you took a hiatus from it. That was where I connected with you again, because same thing with me. I hit the mic first time ever in 2002, and then due to something horrific that happened, took a 10-year hiatus and then found online poetry through some of the people that you're listening to right now and, you know, gravitated and you know, been in that community ever since. So, yeah, there's a lot that you and I share that are very, very similar. So it kind of makes you feel like kindred spirits here. But, yeah, I really appreciate what you do, man. You're dope. And, yeah, please don't ever let anybody stop you for any reasons whatsoever. You have something that needs to be said. You need to be heard. It's profound, and people are listening. I, for one, am definitely listening. So I really appreciate you.
Thank you, Kimbrella. And not that I would ever wish you to have to live in that empty, lonely space, but I'm glad that you can connect with it. And 10-year hiatus is insane. And I'm sure that the world is just glad to have you in it and to be in this poetry world, because I can't imagine it without you from what I've known in the last few years.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just want to say, Gina, my Madonna, Just Jay, y'all did a good thing bringing this one here, because this is definitely a gift. This is definitely a gift right here. So,
ooh, that's high praise coming from you.
I'm just saying that she is she's one of them people I respect highly. I really do.
Kimbrella, can you tell them who you are?
Our next step is to get her on Clubhouse to do an interview.
Hey, that's right, Mama Donna. Get it done. Get it done.
Hey, Kimbrella, can you tell everybody what you're a part of?
Come on now, you know, I am a part of the Epiphany Radio family. That's been since 2013, and that's for, I heard you for real, okay? Yeah, he's right. He had to, you know, there was a struggle with getting me to come on board, because I'm like you. I don't really do the accolades and the praises and all of that. I kind of like to do my thing and step off. And he kept pulling me, and it was working. And I finally, you know, came through and started hosting shows and stuff. So yeah, again, we share a lot of similar moves in life, a lot of similar levels and things that we've gone through. But yeah, I'm a part of the Epiphany Radio family. As you know, part of, you know, one half of Renaissance Poetry. Rest in peace, Sister Taraji. That was our third. So, yeah, we one big family here, one big family.
I love that. Rest in peace, Taraji, yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, yeah, congrats on that. So, Southern Fried, you is that all slam, or is it how do you even go about getting into something like that?
So I would say if you're wanting to do like a Southern Fried Festival, the first thing is just the most basic thing is just go be a Southern Fried member, $20 annually. That way you have access into the portal, into the website. And then, of course, if you want to participate in Southern Fried, I mean, you're talking about, you know, 130 to 140 poets of all states just coming to one place, not all states, but most places can get in, and just coming to one place and just having that experience. You can compete as an individual or as a team if you want to be on a team and make the slam team in your area, or you can just go as an individual poet and register as an indie poet and just take it all in. My very first one was during the pandemic, and it was virtual, but I was an indie poet. And then last year I represented Louisville because I made the team. This year I was not on the Louisville team. I'd registered as an indie and ended up being on a pickup team. So we were a team of four made from four different states. We didn't know each other until the day we arrived in Knoxville for the festival. I would encourage anybody, even if you're not performing. I mean, there was people that were powerhouses. Like Coco Flo was there this year. She didn't perform. I mean, she wasn't competing. She did do some sacrifices and stuff like that. But I would encourage any poet, if you've never experienced something like that, please do, because it is so amazing. It is life-changing. The first time I experienced it was 2017. as just an mm-hmm. audience, and like I did judging and stuff, but I was not in the competition at all. And it changed me. 2017 changed me. Of course, I didn't participate, like I said, until 2021, but that one experience changed me. And I think every poet needs to have an experience like that, where they're just submersed into like 4 days or five of straight poetry.
Gotcha. You know, it definitely sounds like, and then from watching the videos, it definitely looks and sounds like an experience. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that. I think I want to go maybe the first year just to be a part of it and, you know, just to be an observer and a fan of the art, and then we'll see where it takes me from there. But once again, so happy to have you this evening. Great to learn more about you.
Yeah, thank you. And there's so many ways to be involved in stuff like that. You can go and be a judge, scorekeeper, timekeeper. I mean, you can still be part of the action and making the history of whatever, because this will be the 32nd year coming up.
Okay.
But, you know, you don't have to participate. You can go and participate in other ways besides being behind the mic on stage. And it's just a really amazing event. There's workshops during the day. All the bouts happen at night. It's just workshops, and it's just really dope. Like, I feel like, of course, we're talking about Southern Fried particularly, but anything like this, for anything like this when it comes to poetry, everybody needs to experience it at least once, I think.
Understood. Okay.
But then, no, you will get addicted. You will get addicted, and then you will need it. You will need it more. You will fiend for it.
I'm sure.
Go get your IV set up.
Indeed.
Kimbrella, what do you have for us?
Well, I'll go ahead and share this piece. It's an ode to all of us up here. We're all poets, lovers of the craft, lovers of the movement. So when you're ready, I'll share it.
With that being said, Kimbrella, the Hurricane, the mic is yours.
All right. This be the cipher. This be the cipher. I said this be the cipher. We be verbal synchronizers. Poetry aligns us while like minds rewind us. See, bright lights don't blind us. We push waste like fibers because shit has no place inside us. See, we balance that plus and minus, but don't mind us because it's just the way he designed us. So either move out of our way or stand beside us. The enemy can't divide us because when you combine us, no weaponry can bind us from these ink engines that drive us. See, our pens, they be for hire, for something higher, electrifying. We be raw message speakers with amplifiers as the flow of life leaks behind us. Because we be survivors, womb sliders, energy suppliers, everyday urgency and emergency lifeliners. We be vital beats through charged wires, vibrant. Crowns with humility, so we guillotine behaviors of tyrants because we be them truth finders. History reminds us of how they once scribed us, then described us like a virus. Placed us how they lied us, but they be liars, and their labels will never define us because we be igniters, equalizers. Full-time grinders, topless sky, sinus, think pool, divers, notebooks with third eye binders. They find water, earth, wind, and fire in our saliva because we be rhythm, ism, and chism on papyrus. Elevation times many equals where you'll find us. From sunset to sunrises, now rise this, write this, because we be righteous. We be timeless vessels on assignments, blowing sirens, whistles, and ink missiles on your fickle and solitary confinement. See, when life gets caught in your throat, we be your lyrical and spiritual Heimlich. Scale belly sliders, deniers, and despisers in their disguises when we expose the fact that they be spineless because we be too much light for their iris. So I risk my life to define this and free domes that roam in jail climates. Now climb this. Spread those wings and then fly this. Thought plane full of frequency riders. See, his highness requires me to ride this until my breath expires as I rotate my add-on to the cipher, as I rotate my add-on to the cipher, as I rotate my add-on to the cipher, that we be. Peace.
That was dope. That was dope.
She said, I'm sorry, I know I shouldn't be just barging in like this, but she said with water, earth, wind, and fire in our saliva. I love that line. That was dope. I want to make a whole poem. That was fire.
Girl, it got me too.
Thank you.
Hey, Gina, what you think of that lady?
I was speechless until Gwen pulled up the same line that spoke to me. So all I can say is, I know why they call you the hurricane. This is coming from Storm. You went bananas. That was everything. It spoke to who we are and how we see ourselves, how we're trying to be interpreted, and what we're not trying to live beyond. We know our limitations, but this, for us, poetry is salvation. And you spoke that in words that I would, and wrote that piece for me, and I connected to it. So thank you. I love you, Kimbrella.
Yeah. Love you, too. You are so welcome.
Kimbrella, you are slam ready. I don't know if you've ever slammed, but you are slam ready, okay?
I haven't.
I'm serious.
You know, I haven't because I think I kind of, you know, me, I'm a person that the competition element of poetry I really don't do. So that's kind of why I haven't slammed.
Gotcha. I will tell you, when you started out talking about ciphers, that's another thing I should have mentioned. Again, not trying to sway you to compete, but at Southern Fried, they have ciphers. They have an underground slam that's after hours, $1,000. And they have like a haiku death match, go head to head. So there's all this other stuff, like a cookout on Saturday morning
haiku
where everybody's doing something. Yes, it is like it is beyond just what you see on
that
the ballot.
Part.
I mean, it is a whole thing. It is a whole thing.
Yeah.
So
I would love to be in that.
But you know what? I'm not competitive at all. Like I wasn't on a lot of sports teams as you know, when I was young and stuff.
Not
competitive. Too. But I would say that when you talk about, you know, your poems are, they're definitely slam worthy. I mean, you're fire. And I feel like it's not really competing with others. I always say it's just competing with myself. Like, well, I just try to be better in the next slam than I was in the last slam. I just try to do better. So really just being the best version of you. I don't really look at it as the competition. I'm never, like, ranked in the top 10 or anything. Now, for someone who has a really competitive mentality, that would probably not work for them because that would be a struggle for them. But I think, yeah, you're definitely slam ready.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I definitely am looking forward to experiencing something like that as far as Southern Fried because it definitely sounds like an experience. But thank you.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to definitely continue to – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jesse.
What do y'all have going on in the Epiphany Universe, ma'am?
Okay, so we have Renaissance Poetry happens every other Friday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. So last week was a Friday that we were going to have a show, but we were not on. So we will be on this coming Friday, which will be the 7th? I think it's the 7th. So Friday, every other Friday, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. You know, you come in just the way you come in on any of our shows and spit your best shit. When we say that, we mean that thing that you're comfortable with, that thing that you feel like makes your mark and leaves it there. You know, all genres are open. We come up. We network with each other. We encourage each other. We have a good time, all in the name of art. Only on Epiphany Radio, baby, baby.
Sweet. You have any closing remarks for Gwen C?
I just want to continue to watch her go, you know, where she's going to take this as far as, you know, just coming in here, doing her thing. I love what she's doing. Like I said, I respect her. Just growing to get to know her even more. And just keep doing what you're doing and stay authentic to what you do. And never mind those people if they talk and you already know you're doing your job. So there's
that.
Yes,
thank you. Thank you, love. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. One love, one mic, y'all.
One love, one mic.
Be easy, Hurricane.
All right.
You know what, Gwen? There was a there's a guy that I know, and he was talking to me about not getting any features. And what I had came to find out that sometimes the person get to a certain size, and people don't go to them like that. So it's like a little bit of a reverence that people have for them. But in the meantime, the artist is like, you know, I can't get a feature no damn place. But people hold him in such high esteem. And what I had did was, when I had mentioned his name to the very first person I went to go ahead and do that, they popped. They was like, yeah. And that gave, and that let me know that sometimes you get to a certain size, people don't think to even go ahead and ask you for that type of stuff because they either figure that you're busy or you're just above that type of stuff. It's crazy.
Hmm. Never thought of that. Hmm. Dropping wisdom, Jay.
Yeah, me and Gina didn't care. We was going to ask you anyway. You just going to tell us no.
Like, for real.
I don't really know how to say no, by the way, just in case anybody's wondering. It's a struggle.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I hate telling people no. It bothers mm-hmm. my soul, and it bothers my soul, really, when people know that I feel that way, and they still go ahead and ask me things. Like, oh, you bastard, it's easy for me to tell you no. All right. We have this next caller here, 571. How you doing? It's free for what? This rat's on mute. So first of all, we got to get him off of mute. If he would come off of mute, then that would be making it a lot easier to communicate with him.
I mean, I know some
folks. Yo, what's going on?
Riley, that's my little bro. You know, a dang line I know area code.
Yeah,
I'm
in the way.
Area code. My family lives everywhere. I know that one.
What up with y'all?
Everything.
We've been waiting on you, Urban. We're waiting on you.
Hey, yo. Yeah, I'm a fan, Quincy.
you made
a fan out of me. Yeah. I'm loving
this
the
This is the man that did the video, man.
Okay. Thank you for that. That was dope.
Oh, no doubt. Friend of Gina and Jared's, definitely friend of mine. So, yeah. I was honored to do that. But, I'm loving what you're doing.
What you been thinking of this show,
I do,
man?
Have a question. Hey man, I was chilling, you know, with the family, but I was listening in, and yeah, man, it's an excellent show, you know. Y'all chose the right one, for real.
My man.
But so I was listening, and clearly you've been doing this for a long time, Gwen. From when your kids were pretty young. So my question is, when does Gwen C. take time to write? I know for me, I write on the fly. I don't have a specific time. I know some people do. But I don't know. I can't afford to do it. So I write whenever I get a chance to. And sometimes it's a burden. Sometimes you lose things when you do that because you can't always grab your phone and, you know, jot what you got going on. So when does Gwen C. write? Specific time of day or what?
No. It's just when I need to. It's when I feel it, when the poem comes. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's 3 a.m., and I know we hear that a lot, but I will open my phone and put it in the talk text or put it in my voice memo or put it, talk text it into my phone if it's an idea or a line that I think needs to become a poem. Most poems, for the most part, I write a lot if I'm upset, if I'm angry, if I'm mad. You know, that's what I do. I talk shit. That's where put it in a poem G came from, the whole hashtag. Like, I legitimately live my life around that. So if I'm upset about something or I feel like something ain't right, it'll usually come to me and I'll finish the poem in that sitting. But then I have to go back and edit it, of course, and make it what it needs to be. But I can usually get all the parts. And I will say one thing about my writing, and I don't know if this is other people too, because I've never really asked anybody. My writing will be all over the place. Like, I'll have this stanza, but they're not in the order that they're going to be. It's just my thoughts when I'm upset about something or when I'm feeling inspired or whatever it is that's triggered me to write. Then when I go back and when I take it to put it all together, I'm actually moving the stanzas around, plus doing the editing to make it a final piece. But usually they come in like one setting for the most part. I don't have a place that I write or a certain time or like a certain method. One time I got really, 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 really upset. And I sat at my kitchen table, and that's the only time I've ever done that. I've never sat at my kitchen table and wrote a poem. I sat in there for 4 hours and wrote a piece. Not a piece I'm proud of, but it is fire. I will say that, and it is long as fuck.
but I normally don't have like a place, and I normally don't write in like the common areas of my house. So it was just really weird to do that. But it was because of what I was feeling at the time, because I was mad because I feel like I had been done wrong.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, sounds familiar for me too. And by the way, I'm stealing one of your phrases. You just keep messing with me, you're going to fuck around and end up in a poem.
Yes. Put it in a poem. G. Anybody can be G. So there you go.
Messing around and end up in a poem messing with me. Yeah, I like that.
It's
but again,
than
it was dope.
Fucking somebody up.
Dope.
It's the best way to do it. Save them and save yourself. Put them in a poem instead.
Right.
You can do both too frequently. You ain't got to be just limited to just write the poem. Go see here.
Just Jay on here giving bad advice.
Just I'm not an attorney, although I do play one on the radio.
I'm sorry. Gwen C, because you don't know any better, Just Jay has no good advice.
Oh, that's funny.
I get plenty of good advice.
That's so funny. I judge people off their poems. I'm guilty of being judgmental when it comes to poems, and all his poems always have, like, you know, they're solid. So I think that means he has good advice. So apparently I need to stop using poems as my skill.
About that. Right. So Just Jay the poet and Just Jay the person are two totally different people. You're going to find out. Maybe tonight.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, that's hilarious. I feel like y'all need to have a haiku death match one day, just because she said that about you, Just Jay.
No, we just going to have a death match, period.
The only reason
haiku,
I know how to haiku is because of Just Jay. I have no haiku. I told him I was a haiku retard, and he said, if I can do it, you can do it. You know what I was thinking? Right, because he can barely read and write, so due to his illiteracy, I believed him. And now I
just
said
haiku. Never failed to throw a jab.
Oh, that's so funny.
The backhand is serious.
Freak. I'm going to
call it Serena Williams.
I said it earlier. This is my favorite brother.
She be
so
funny, my favorite brother.
He just proved you right.
All right, Frequency. We're about to go ahead and move you through. I'm going to let your sister Gina go ahead and process you, brother.
I'm sorry. Arrested. You said process him? No.
Yeah,
this
that would be Gina's
story. I'm going to make my brother, Frequency, very comfortable as he comes into the space that we're interviewing Gwen C, because this is not a feature. It's an interview. And with that being said, my little brother, Free, the mic is yours, sir.
All right, thank you, y'all. I think I'm going to do this piece. It's Words of Waters. So, I take laps in my thoughts before I speak and let the waters pour. You see, the brain is over 80% water, so that's really not a metaphor. When the water broke, I emerged as a reservoir. With the belief that words mirror water, see reflections of thoughts uttered. So in essence, I believe thoughts can actually quench thirst just like water. See, my spoken words of wonders are wealthy as wholesome wells of wisdom whispering waters. Waters from gutters purified and fine as wine with thoughts of mine refined from my highest source of divine order. So are these words and thoughts really mine? Or am I just a vessel? Successfully channeling echoes of water poured in poetic deposits of this artist's faucets with mental profits. I guess it is with royal prerogatives that I spit. Cognitively driven, provocative, spoken hieroglyphs with positive composites of knowledge gifted, collected, because I was selected, connected, and trusted with powers of life in words as sacred as waters. See, the truth is, just as water is fluid, fortified with minerals of love, soul, and spirit, so are my words, pure and poetically naked, truth immune to hatred, lyrics encrypted, poetically coded to break you out of this matrix, like waters washing away the dramatic theatrics of a paradoxical world of toxic optical illusions. My words are a flowing series of cascades removing delusions, the fusion of tongue, heart, and mind in union, flooded from reservoirs in the form of spoken solutions. So get this, recline and sip this. The cup I offer effortlessly smelted from copper, designed from the rock of my heart to properly prosper. Let me elevate your mental capacity. Let me help you escape from this plane of monotony. Honestly, I just want you on this level of frequency, frequently vibing those sequence of energy where wordplay anomalies and next level quality, simply above and beyond, like top tier, upper echelon. It's something like a phenomenon. So, come on. You thirsty? Because the flow of stupendous, I mean, like water, it quenches. Taking the form of emptiness with pH2O replaced it. Poetical waters at its core, lyrical greatness, exquisite. Don't try to resist it. It's more like a quench for the soul. Melody equipped with truth in lyrical elements. Stress expressed and vanquished. Sun-kissed, heaven sent, blessed by the best. Yes, you could taste it. No lie, if you listen, guarantee you for sure, like right as rain, you'd be satisfied. But if you're skeptically wondering why, well, my very being is a spring. When I speak, you can dream with relieving sighs from oceans of words and libraries of waters. I utter spoken words like glistening sparkles of sunlight on waters. My words are enriched with poetical sips of life and nuggets and clusters of philosophical hindsights. Naturally poured through the chalice of poetry, orally speaking life with surety, organically filled with delight that brightens with shivers. My thoughts overflowing rivers. Yo, you frequency. And these are words of waters.
Woo! That's dope there, bro.
That coming dope through, right frequency. There, bro. Coming through. Coming through.
Who does that? I was dehydrated. Now I'm hydrated. Plus some. I'm trying not to be so satiated that I become toxic if I drinking of that H2O because I know that it's a real thing. You can drink too much water and then you'll pass away and you'll go. Frequency just at the stage and I'm over here thinking, ooh, I still got ice in my cup. That's my little brother. What's up?
Yeah, I appreciate it.
That was amazing. When he's my very being is a spring. Like the whole thing, I was trying to take notes. And then I just gave up after wordplay anomalies. I have other notes, but then I stopped there. And then when he said, my very being is a spring, oh, my God. That whole piece was dope. I love that.
Thanks,
I'm not supposed to be giving commentary.
That's why I'm hyper-hydrated.
I love that.
I can drown right now in my own gushing about this poet.
Mm.
Damn, Gwen, you saw it.
I thought we told him about coming on the venues and showing up, but apparently he didn't get the message.
He don't care. Hey. I'm telling you, he brought
it's
his
a good
stages.
Message. It's a good message.
Thank God that he brought the water, because we'd all be dead.
All right.
I enjoyed listening to Gwen. Yo, Gwen, you got to come to Clubhouse. I mean, we got to get you in the living room. So, yeah.
We'll see. Thank you for the invite.
Don't you just love Free? He is so humble and sweet about it. I be pulling people's arms behind their back and making their shoulder pop out of the socket. But we different.
Yeah.
That's the frequency.
Yes, frequency. I've been trying to say that was fire. You know it's fire. Your tone, tonality, and how you put your words together. I'm running. I don't even try to keep up and try to write down, because by the time I catch one, then 20 more have passed by. So, you know, I just have to wait and absorb the whole piece. So, great job as always.
Mama Donna, all I can say is like everybody else I tell during the summer and the warm months of the year, they hydrated. Like I got my,
for sure.
My cup is not empty right now. Thank you, frequency.
Between the kitchen and this show tonight, it's been fire.
Oh, it's been a round of fire.
I agree. It's
been a round of fire. All right, all right. Hey, frequency, did you want to lay in the weeds? Or what you want to do? You want me to push you off, or what you doing, brother?
Leave me off. I'm
chilling
for now.
All right. You got the control of your mute button, then, brother. We have other people that are in here. They have yet to raise their hand. And if you didn't call into Epiphany as of
11 minutes ago because it is 10:10 right now, then you got cut off. And everybody who is still living here, we welcome y'all. 352-309, if you guys want to go ahead and join the part of this party that we're having with our sister that we're celebrating, you guys are more than welcome to. You press the number 1, and you'll be in here. You have a hot mic. We had lost Dexter. Gina, can you make sure everything is good with him? All right. Now we have 352.
He's okay. Dexter's all right. He had to go because he had just finished his night. He got off the plantation and he went to the crib, but he has a question for Gwen C. That's okay.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get it.
Okay, this is his question. He said, my question to Gwen is, can anyone define her meaning in any aspect, or is she an anomaly that speaks for herself? And that's his question. Are you an anomaly, or can other people define you?
Oh, I think other people can define me. I don't know how they're going to define me, but I feel like other people can. For one, I'm open book. I'm super transparent, even though I don't like a lot of attention. But, I mean, once you get me talking, I'm very, you know, talkative. I'm going to be open. I'm going to be honest. And so because of that, people can come to a conclusion, which means they will probably in their mind have a definition of who they think I am. And they may be right. They may be wrong. But, yeah, I think people definitely can define me.
I like your answer. He'll be listening to the replay. So, Dexter, that's from Dee Dee to you. I asked your question to Quincy, and she gave you her answer.
Oh. Where's the music coming from?
I don't know. I thought you played it.
No.
Who do we have next on the line?
Well, I guess we are an anomaly then. We get a
random blog lady giving us the business.
Oh, no. I found out who it was. I'm about to come back to you 352. 352? 352.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Mic check, 1, 2.
Yeah.
Mic check.
Yeah, who this be?
I'm Pastor Don Jr., CEO. I've been texting like crazy. I love the show. I love the energy. I love the camaraderie. I have a piece. I'm not a splitter, but this is my piece. These are power words I use to start my day.
All right, all right. Well, we're about to go ahead and get right down to you, brother. We appreciate your patience,
you
man. So what you been thinking about the show so far, man, before you get into your
piece?
Oh,
man,
I'm loving
it.
To know you a little bit.
What? Okay, well, I'm Pastor Don Jr., CEO. Shouts out to the 300 winning team members. Shouts out to anybody that got a text message from me that called into the show. I've been in radio 45 years, all my life. This is what I do. And
wow.
I'm going to spit this piece really quickly and move out the way. And it goes.
Yes, sir.
This is the day, my
day. With that being said, the mic is yours.
Go ahead. All right. This is the day, my day. I will control it. I will control over and release of that. All right. I will control over what I can and release of that which I can't. I will be confident in my words and in myself. Resilience will trump rejection. Favor will overcome frustration. For every yes, I secure the victory. For every no, I have planned to see. Every contact is a new opportunity, a new challenge, a moment of truth. I'm important. I make a difference. I'm blessed from above, inspired by those around me. I'm powerful, I'm loved. Each hunger on my, I'm thankful. For I have become stronger, for I have become stronger, for I have become stronger. Today is my day, this is my calling. I'm the voice of and for many, the sick, the unborn, the incarcerated, the hungry. I'm an ambassador for humanity, created by the Almighty. Faithful for all, I shall prevail. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. There it is, y'all. That's my piece.
Amen.
Bro, where can people find you at, man?
Anywhere, man. I'm old school. You can call my phone anytime, 24/7. My phone number is 352 352-363-1650. Once again, 352-363-1650. Thank y'all for having this platform. Thank y'all for giving poetry a light. There's so many poets out here don't have a place to drop their pieces, and they need more people like y'all. So keep doing what y'all doing. Somebody's watching and listening. You never know.
Man, we appreciate you coming in here and bringing that energy with you, man. Hey, we really want to see you here again, brother. We really want to see you here again.
Hey, man. Well, hey, I text out 300 people. My guys should be calling in. So, hey, they all winning team members. You'll be shocked at who I got.
My man. We're going
to
be able to look out for you.
To press one so they can get in queue like you did so we can hear them as well. And all I can say is the history of me being a poet on Blog Talk and Talk Show calling radio shows. I've never had a person come on for the first time ever with this level of enthusiasm. So I salute and honor who you are, poet. I promise you. I've been in this game for just 2 decades, and I feel like a young buck next to you, and people consider me to be an OG. So all I can say is, oh, my God, you are so dope. Thank you.
Hold
it
down, Quinn. Hey, I'm going on mute, but, man, y'all got me blushing over here. I love y'all. Thank y'all for everything. But, again, hey,
we need to get some feedback from Mama Donna. Mama Donna,
don't run off this tip, bro.
Yeah, I'm here. I've been here. I've been trying to say I love him coming in. I love his energy. I love the affirmations to himself and to others. That was a dope piece, and it was really quite nice.
I hope y'all get my guy OG on. I just told him to call in. He's got some fire. OG and Betrayed Innocence. Them two guys, y'all got to watch out for. They got a song called AI, and it's amazing, but I told them to call in. I don't know if they're on the line. If you got an 806 or 312, they're my people. For real.
My
y'all
man.
Y'all press one. Y'all hear me. Come on, let's get it.
Did hey,
brother, we appreciate you.
Like Chicago?
Yes,
hold
ma'am.
On.
Yes, ma'am. Chicago.
I don't see a 312 on here, bro.
Yeah, so this is the Jeff Day and Jim show. We're here every other Saturday night. But you can catch us on Clubhouse and the Small House of Poetry. Follow Just Jay or myself, Gina Storm, as well as Mama Donna in the Small House of Poetry, and we'll put you on. You can come through tomorrow.
Yep.
We have a show at 6 Central, which is our time zone in Chicago, 7 Eastern, every Sunday night. So if you'd like to get on the mic and you want to bring your folks too, come through tomorrow. We got you.
Yes, ma'am. I would definitely be there. Thank y'all. I appreciate y'all time.
Look up the Small House of Poetry on Facebook, too, man. It's a group. And we're going to let you in. It's a private group. Just punch in Small House of Poetry, and we got you covered, brother.
Got you, man. Thank y'all. I love the energy here. Thank y'all so much. Small House
you take care, brother. Appreciate all the energy you blasted off in here, too, man. That's what's up.
Hey, man. You're welcome. One love, one mic.
One love, one mic. Let's get it. One.
Let's get it. Man, dude was a blast of fresh air up in his joint. Hey, Gwen, see, I'm going to go ahead and take another person, and then you have your poem ready. I know.
Oh, okay, cool. Look, I wasn't ready. So, Gwen, see, take a second, collect yourself, because I know that was a lot, and then we're going to go back to you after the next caller.
Sounds good. I'm excited to see who's next.
Absolutely love
it. Gwen, they came out for you. This there's some folks in here. 240, how you doing?
What's up, everybody?
Uh-oh. You got to identify yourself.
Can you hear me?
You be? Yes, we can.
Oh, okay. What's up, everybody? This is Latoya Edwards, CEO of Kingdom One Financial Network, Inc., since 2015, and right now I'm really excited. I want to first give a shout out to Pastor Don for inviting me on to this, radio station. I'm so excited. And right now I'm leading a national expansion. It's a money making opportunity for investors. We're having a meeting on Wednesday. Mm-hmm.
Are you about to do a sales pitch?
Well, this is I'm not a poet, but you know, I am an artist. I'm creative, and I'm in business. And right now, I have a money making opportunity for investors that I would like to share with y'all.
I understand that, right? but this is not the venue for that. This is not the venue for that. We appreciate you coming in. No, this isn't his show. This isn't his show. He just came on.
Oh, okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. This is actually, we are honoring Gwen C. She's a pillar in the poetry community, and we've been trying to keep things centric to poetry.
Okay. Well, I love poetry.
I'll tell you what, you can, at the Small House of Poetry, you can go over there, you can punch that into your Facebook search, and then over there we can go ahead and accommodate you over there. It's about 200 and close to 300 people over there.
Yeah, you know, I'm a singer as well. Now, the Small House of Poetry,
Do you want to blow?
Would you like to
sing? Do you
want
to sing?
Oh yeah, I can sing a piece. Absolutely.
We're not talking about just poetry, because lyrics are lyrics for us here at Epiphany, as well as the Small House of Poetry. We support artists, and if you would like to sing something for us, we're accepting that. Because it doesn't have to be written or spoken.
Okay.
It can be sang. And if I could sing, I wouldn't talk. So with that being said, what was your name again?
Latoya Edwards. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to sing this
Edwards,
piece for y'all.
The mic is yours. Yes, ma'am.
All right.
It's your mic.
I won't feel neglected. I won't be denied of the pleasure of your kissing. Pleasure of your smile, I think you take for granted. I'll always be here just because I love you. It doesn't mean I won't disappear. It's been so long. I'm missing you, baby. It's been so long. I'm missing you, baby. Thoughts of metal memory, once upon a time, slowly creeping on me, and fear of the mind, is that somebody loving you? I just don't know why, whenever I get close to you, you want to run and hide for so long. I'm missing you, baby. It's been so long. I'm missing you, baby. It's been so long. I'm missing you, baby. It's been so long. I'm missing you, baby. Won't you come home, baby? Won't you come home? Say I love me.
What is your name?
I'll be damned. Look, I wasn't even ready. You can say whatever you want to.
She put on a whole concert.
Look, hold on. I'm country as hell. I'm just going to say assignment understood and skilled.
Okay.
She came in with the, well, the what? She said, I can sing.
Oh,
I was like,
you
better.
I raised my eyebrow way up above my forehead. I said, you can sing. I'm like, you sure about that?
As a matter of fact, I can't even cover that check. Let's go.
Gwen, see, what do you think about this young? Hey, what's your name again, ma'am?
That's Ms. LaToya Edwards.
LaToya Edwards. Do you know her?
No, but I know her now.
Yes.
I know her now.
I know. I think everybody know her.
she said her government 3 times. I'm just going to say I didn't have to write it down.
Thank
her
y'all.
Her singing blew
so
right out my brain.
I'm a little bit hoarse. I would have needed
and
some.
And I'm a little bit of a pony.
Look. With a disclaimer.
Well, you know what?
1, stand down. 2, don't do that. 3, if I could sing, I wouldn't talk. 4, girl, you better stop. Mama Donna, the mic is yours.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to say, you know, you wasn't prepared to sing. You came out and sang, and I don't know what you're talking about. You're a little bit hoarse. Only you heard that. You know, I did think you were dancing around in your room because you kept going in and out. But otherwise,
okay.
that was outstanding. That was outstanding.
Thank you so much.
Came out
you
real loud, and all of a sudden you started fading. I said, I don't know if she's doing that on purpose or
no.
Whatever it is. It's working
mm-hmm.
for her.
Mama
you
Donna,
just doing your thing.
That was the Mama Donna, that was the high, the low, the crescendo. If I could sing, I'd do that too. She would head out, came back, and you better get your life. She would head out.
We gotta
thank y'all for the opportunity.
Oh, no,
we
got
to get to know
life.
You.
No. You play too much. Go ahead, Jay, get her. I'm sick of my brother on
no.
You. Let's go, partner.
I'm about to shake her up. She came on here with that pitch, and then she's like, I got some music. I'm like, I don't know. And I said, well, go ahead. Let's go ahead and see what she got. And she blew the doze off this rascal. I'm going to need you not to do that again. At least not
okay.
That matter.
We weren't ready. Thank
y'all
so much. It's my pleasure. I love singing.
Wait a minute.
This woman
let
that came in here and sang
you.
This song on
right.
Your night.
I
right.
Think she was amazing. That's why I said I know her now.
Right.
Yes.
We know,
I know
her,
now.
Her now. She better not be a stranger. You called us by accident.
Oh no, I'll be on these on the regular now.
Please
oh,
believe
famous.
We do this
nah,
every
gonna never
other Saturday.
From her again.
But there is an Epiphany show every night of the week. But we're here every other Saturday. But follow
okay.
Us, like Jess Jay said, Small House
uh-huh.
Poetry. We have a page
okay.
On Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, as well as Clubhouse. Download the app.
It's called
and
Black Twitter.
The Song House of Poetry.
And Black Twitter.
Small House of Poetry.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Okay.
If you push that into your Facebook little magnifying glass, it's going to lead you straight to us. We're going to bring you into our private house.
Okay.
And then we're going to invite you all our mics. We have lots.
And we have singers and poets in there, and we're about to do something special with you, young lady.
Okay.
You need to know that. We are so glad that you called in by accident, because this was not an
accident. I'm going on Facebook and pull it up right now, Small House of Poetry. I'm on Facebook to join the, hold on 1 second, Small House of Poetry. All right, I'm in there, y'all.
Wait, we got you.
We got you. Locked and loaded. Oh, yeah.
How did it feel to do
okay,
that, young lady?
I just joined the Small House Support You on Facebook.
We will welcome
how did it
all
feel
right.
To do that?
That's awesome. I'm really excited. Do y'all have live events where I can come in and sing live?
Yes.
We will do that in the future. What we're doing right now is virtual. It's online.
Virtual?
On Clubhouse,
okay.
And here at Blog Talk. But we're just going to take this. We are the Small House of Poetry International. So we're going to
I was just
people.
I was just looking
Clubhouse,
at a venue today.
There's
going to
be plenty
today.
Of people that's going to be that'll be kindred to you, and you'll be able to start networking through them. But yeah,
that's awesome.
I feel you on that.
We got things that we can do that make what you do worth it. So let's stick on.
Wow.
I'm so glad that you joined the Small House because we're small, but we're mighty. And we're here on the pit.
Oh.
And there's no reason for you
that's
to be no ordinary.
Question.
You can be raw. This is exactly. This is sponsored by Raw Links. And this is the Epiphany Universe. This is a show that we do every other Saturday night at 6 Central,
okay.
7 Eastern. And the call-in number is 319-527-6300. But if you don't get in before 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern, you can't get in. You can just listen online. But you made the cutoff, and we're glad you did.
Me too. And now I got the number locked in my phone, and look, I'm on there. And then Pastor Don keeps me up to by texting me. Ain't no way I ain't going to be on these. Thank y'all so
hey,
much.
Pastor Don brought you into the right place. How did Pastor Don find out about this? Let me go ahead and bring Pastor Don back in here for a hot second. Hey, Pastor D, is this you, bro? Pastor D?
Unmute yourself.
Pastor.
If you're on mute,
I guess
unmute.
He might have stepped away from his telephone. I'm about to go ahead and put him back on
okay.
the couch.
But if he's not available,
well, young lady,
we send him a thanks from us to you because we wouldn't
okay.
have had this experience had it not been for him.
Thank y'all for having me. I'm definitely going to be the next one.
You were a treat. You were a real treat. You need to be sharing that gift as well, too,
and
ma'am.
See, and it sounds like we got some writers in the house. I'm telling you, I got writings, but I don't know nothing about writing music and rhyming and poetry. I don't know nothing about that stuff. And
we're
I've
about
been
to get you up to see Mama Donna started last year, and Mama Donna is now a beast. We got you covered.
Yes. So if you can hang out with us. We're here for this. We don't even call it mentoring. It's poetry. Lyrics are lyrics. You are a songstress, which makes you a poet. You just don't know it. We're going to tap you in. So with that being said, Jess J, the mic is yours. Please feel free to just sit back and listen to the rest of the show. Mute yourself.
Absolutely.
We will not mute you so that you can be here and hear what it is that we do. And we have our features tonight, Gwen C. She's going to give us another piece. And afterwards, we're going to do a speed round with the poets who are on the mic. And that's myself, Gina, Jess J, and Mama Donna.
Okay. All
much
right,
love,
I'm muting
lady.
Now. Thank y'all.
What you just did for us. Take care.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
One love, one mic.
We haven't had this type of flow. Since we've been doing this, Gwen C, what do you know?
Oh, shoot. It's all because of you? No, I don't
yes,
know
ma'am.
About that, but thank you.
You brought something different.
It's all because of you.
We've always been dope.
Mm-hmm.
We never questioned that. But the difference between tonight and every other night is Gwen C is our interviewee. And they came for you, Ma, not us.
Thank you. That sounded painful, didn't it?
You're welcome. I wish this was a video. I wish this was a video and not audio because if I could see her face right now, the hole you dig would be red. That's my girl.
How are you holding up under all this scrutiny and love, Gwen C?
It's rough. It's a struggle, okay?
I know.
But,
you used to go into slam competition having to fight for your love.
I was just going to come and say, I don't know if she's
the one-on-one.
I don't know if she's
going to
hold up much longer.
That's so funny.
Oh, man, that's so funny. I just realized you called it, Jay. You called it. It's the exact opposite of what I'm used to.
Hey, we want to see you. What? Yeah, I must have had the wrong joint. Hey, this is cool, though. All right, Gwen C., I'm going to go ahead and let one of the sisters. Mama Donna, do you mind hooking Gwen C. up?
Of course not. I have no problem. You know, this has been enjoyable, Gwen C., and the beautiful thing about it is that you're not used to getting the accolades because you think you don't have a lot of support around you. But obviously, you have a lot more support than you thought you did because people have come through for you. So, you know, with that, I'm ready to hear whatever you're ready to give to us because I think you're an awesome poet and an awesome person, and we love to hear anything that you have to give to us. So with that being said, the mic is yours.
Thank you. Scrolled. April 5th about to be trolled because my words violate caution tape of unpoetic scene. One shot heard the nonstop, scrolling, MSN.com, article addressing black man dead because of a shower head. Insert edit, black man dead because of a power head on the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King. Scrolling, followed by Masters Live, speaking golf tweets after an ace. Where is America's tweets about injustice to the human race? A tweet would be a post. A post is used to erect the fence, hurdling said fence and stand. Scrolling, fiery bubble fascinates internet. Scrolling, why you should save your eggshells. Is that so? Unarmed black folks can have them to walk on in the presence of authority. Scrolling, teacher pranks a student found asleep. Shouldn't be an issue since the majority of the U.S. is too. Sleepwalking in courtrooms, daydreaming during jury duty in a grand scheme, returning no indictments, all while you were conditioned by media's tense engaged by tactics like fiery bubble in the sea so that you continue to not see. Scrolling, breathtaking sights you can see for free. A black man has the potential to experience breathtaking in his own bed. Yard, car, at the mark for being on the radar as a child playing in the park from grade school start. Scrolling, 50 best things about being over 50. Here's one, how about living while black while reaching a half century? Unkilled by the streets or police. Foul cops, regardless of their ethnicities, compile the worst gangs in U.S. cities. Colors, nightmares walking. Scrolling, how to pay off $5,000 debt. Scrolling, photos that make you laugh out loud. How about photos of love? Bible says we shall. John 13:35, by this everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Righteous we are, yet we don't fight for our brothers nor our sisters' lives. Scrolling, Harvey Luter gets 20 years. My heart is from Houston, but how you get 20 as a looter when active shooter police get administrative or paid leave time? Served, then greeted with a handshake, gun, and badge, or maybe just resign. Nah, they got coverage for civil suit, like media's coverage in which they design as an exposed someone's past. Oops, I mean recreated for prime time, proving a colorful existence as they outline the character of the victim, darkening pigments attempts to villainize before flashing them in front of America's crimson-shot eyes, who's readily awaiting the streams of attention they get when they rebuke black lives, tasting the taint, seeing it for the twist so they can pop off lips and judge us who face our own kind, discriminating, or others' attempts at artificial insemination, trying to censor what we produce by screaming appropriation. Psh, you might cash me outside, planting seeds in the soil you love to see slung, washing dirt from within your scar, let heart beat to prevent weeds. But as long as your grass is green, you forget like Emmett did with your grandparents. We all bleed the same, but you won't give a damn till your blood is on pavement or your family is wrongly taken. Your body is alive, yet your soul has not yet awakened. In peace.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. What made you write this piece right here, Gwen?
Oh, thank you for asking. Thank you, thank you. So in 2016, I had one resolution for the new year. And my resolution was finally to have self-love. Like, that was it.
so that I could take a damn compliment, as y'all can see, without having to downplay it. You know, finally have self-love.
You're still working on it.
Clearly, I have not reached that resolution, but there's a reason why. So I made See the Worth. That was my resolution. It was going to be See the Worth, C-E-E, just like my name. And later in 2023, I was making some progress, I thought, a little bit. You know, See the Worth was at least a hashtag, if nothing else. Well, in 2023, in the summer, Alton Sterling got killed. And then, you know, not even a week later, Philando Castillo got killed, shot by the police. So I didn't write See the Worst right then, but See the Worst started to take a shift. Well, then 2 months later, Terrence Crutcher got killed. And that was like, you know, 3 unarmed black men killed in 2 months. And that's when I decided that See the Worst was no longer my hashtag for myself for finding self-love. See the Worst was my own movement to support Black Lives Matter in my own way, you know, see the worth in every person you meet, every situation you encounter, and just always, you know, see the worth in the moment and don't fuck it up. And so it was really to combat the unarmed killing of black, you know, the police killing of unarmed black folks. And that's where the song that you played in the beginning of this came to be. That's where See the Worth came from. And so this piece was one of the pieces that I wrote around that time.
Can I ask you a serious question?
No. I'm just kidding. Yes.
Why do you care?
I don't know how not to care. I've been like this since I was like a little person in like elementary school. I've always, you know, taken up for other people, fought for other people. You know, I've been jumped because I was fighting for somebody else. All those things, and obviously that wasn't elementary school, that was in high school, but all those things, like, they've been part of me for as long as I can remember. I have come to the conclusion, it's funny that you asked that question, Jay, because I wasn't expecting it, but it's funny that you asked because I've recently come to the conclusion. It's a piece that I'm working on now. Came to me one of those nights where I had to grab my phone and put it in a notepad. I came to the conclusion that the reason why I've always tried to take up for other people and that I'm just who I am this way. Like, I can't not be this person. Believe me, I've tried. It would have been an easier path for me, right, to, like, live a privileged life,
yes,
or whatever.
That's what I was thinking.
I recognize that. But, you know, it's always been part of me, and I've come to the conclusion that as I got older, now maybe not in elementary school, and my mama loves me. I'm sure my daddy loved me, all that good stuff. I'm not saying that. But as I got older, I think I would take up for people and try to defend others to try to get something that I felt like I didn't have, like maybe because I never felt good enough or I was searching for love. And in some way, I thought that would get me love in return.
Was it
so
easier for you
I've
to
always
take up for other people than yourself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. And then, but don't get it twisted. You've heard that one piece. I will take up for myself.
I already know who you are. I'm just asking about the interview.
I will. But I think when I was younger, it was a struggle for me. Like, I would defend myself, but I think because I never felt worthy. Like, I grew up in domestic violence. I grew up, you know, in poverty and just all these things. And I'm not talking about just the and I'm not downplaying any domestic violence because it's all bad, but I grew up in some really, really situations. And it was like that from the time that I was 3. That's why one of my poems says I've been worried since I was 3. I don't need to be worried at 47. I need peace in my life because I've been worried since I was 3. And you know, I didn't get out of that situation until I was, you know, 16, 17 years old. And I always experienced like so much domestic violence, and it was the worst kind of domestic violence. I've had the SWAT team kick in the door. You know, I've had, you know, I don't want to put my dad's business out there, but it was just a lot. And there was drugs, and, you know, he wasn't clear-minded. He's a changed person now in his older age, and I'm glad and I love him for that. But I think because I never felt good enough or worthy in my younger years. So that's probably why I took up for others. Because I was looking for what I didn't have.
Well, that's one of the things that we want to get to with your interview. We want to talk about the finished product. And there were some things that happened in order for Gwen C. to be who Gwen C. Were. And we think that the people really want to know that, and they deserve to know exactly those stimulus that created you to be the person that you are today. So thank you for this, Gwen.
Thank you.
All right.
You know,
we
Gwen,
have one of.
Gwen,
oh, go ahead, Mama Donna.
Can I just say something here, Gwen? That piece resonated with me, and then the explanation as to why you wrote it resonates with me, because I think that's why I care, because I never got the care I thought I needed at home. You know, growing up, I didn't have the domestic violence situation that you had growing up with. But there were periods of, you know, my mother, husband coming home drunk, waking us all up. Why should